The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hunk by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk, off my lady hump, my hump, my hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
DFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Was that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, and so does PFW in Progress. We are here until 2 o'clock taking your calls and emails. Excuse me. On the show, here comes Paul and Andy late. But another big week of PFW in Progress after another big Patriots win. 9-3 now, just rolling toward the playoffs. 3-game lead on Miami with 4 games to go.
Wow.
Things are looking good, right? Wouldn't you guys say? I think most of us never doubted that the Patriots would be in the playoffs this season.
Oh, no.
There's not one single person who doubted that.
Yeah. But I think that I thought Miami would put up a little bit more of a fight.
Did Pro Football Focus have them in the postseason?
Miami?
No, the Patriots.
Oh, yes. They ended up winning the division at 9-7.
At 9-7.
I thought they had Miami winning the division.
And I'm pretty sure they had the Patriots at 9-7 winning the division.
Anyway.
We need to check on that because I was like.
I just threw that stuff away.
So we got a
I
lot
just cleaned
to talk
out that
about
drawer.
This week.
I had tons and tons of old ones.
Cleaned
I
out the bathroom.
Had that one. I did.
We got a lot to talk about this week with the Patriots winning in Houston. A little tougher than we thought. A little bit of a slow start.
A lot tougher than I thought.
I think once they got rolling, things were okay, but it took them a little while to get rolling. A little bit too long.
And they never got rolling as a team to get rid of the
60
Texans.
Minutes of not rolling.
Right.
So we'll talk about that. These guys
talk about James Devlin.
Water all over the wind.
I even thought at halftime that I wasn't really overly concerned because I wasn't stunned that it was a slow start.
You weren't concerned.
Never once was I concerned about winning the game. And then all of a sudden, it's the fourth quarter, and the other team has the ball down 3 at the 45-yard line. I wasn't expecting that. You're right. Yeah. I didn't expect it to be that tough.
I just felt that, you know, like you said, the other team was down 3. As long as the Patriots had a minute in the ball they would win.
Well, that's the only time that I got worried is because there was a scenario unfolding that they wouldn't have any time.
Right.
There was 3 minutes left. They're on the Houston's on their own 45-yard line. They hadn't been stopped all day.
Right.
And they got stopped.
Yeah.
That's why they're on a 10-game losing streak.
How about the fact the Patriots have now given up 31 points in 3 of 4?
Yeah.
Do we just assume offense is going to score 30, defense is going to give up 30? Although, in Denver, a little bit of that was offense, too. But is that where we are, where we're just expecting 30-something to 30-something games?
I don't think you can. I think when you go down to Baltimore, for example, I think that you've got to play some defense. I think when you go to Miami, I think Miami's defense is enough that they could give you problems. And so this defense has to come around. And
I don't think it's going to.
Yeah.
I think as a wise man once said,
it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Well, we'll talk about that. I think that not having Dennard out there makes a big difference. It just screws everything up. Arrington should not be on the outside.
Well, he really wasn't on Sunday. Well, he only played 18 plays.
He was on that play.
He was on a big play, yes.
You know?
So, see, I think a bigger issue is the concern with Tlaib. They chose not to match up. They went a lot of zone.
That's my
They matched up with Andre Johnson twice last year. So sort of reading the tea leaves, that leads me to believe maybe he's not healthy enough to match up with Andre Johnson.
I think
I'm with you.
Right.
I was going to use that as one of my points on the TV show today. I couldn't agree with you more, Andy. That's my biggest concern is their inability to play the way they quote-unquote want to.
Yeah.
And then you got the heart attack because I have anointed this offense as fine. Whatever it's going to be, it's great, it's good, it's going to move up and down the field. And then you get the heart attack where Gronkowski limps off, kind of flexes, and I'm thinking, all right, season just ended. Because that's what he is. He's become the, the old awards that we'd give out other than Tom Brady. First half of the year, it was Aqib Tlaib was the other than Tom Brady that has to be good. And now it's Gronkowski. Second half of the year, we're going to be an offense team. If he goes down, all right, we'll pack it up, pack it in.
Yeah, I mean...
Pack it up, pack it in.
He's such a key.
Vacation in January.
You know, because of him... Shane Vereen's wide open for a touchdown.
Yep, absolutely.
Because of him, everything. Because of him, everything. He is the man. He makes that catch on his ankles.
Andy just ruined my commentary I just spent time writing.
Well, I mean, he makes that catch on his ankles, and I said this the other day. If you throw that to Zach Sudfeld, it's probably a pick. He probably deflects it up in
not
the air.
Not only is that not a touchdown.
Hits his hands, his heel, goes straight up.
Exactly.
Not only is it not a touchdown, there's a good chance it's a pick.
Instead, Gronk makes a great catch, and you score, and okay, we're on the board, and now we can start to dig out of this. And then you mentioned it, the Vereen play, where Shane Vereen even joked about being ridiculously wide open because they're all with Gronk.
He like laughed.
It's because it is kind of laughable. I mean, the guy has caught 16 passes in 2 weeks. It's not like he's this forgotten James Devlin. Okay, James Devlin was wide open.
Right.
We missed him. It's Shane Vereen. He's a big part of the offense.
Matthew Mulligan.
Right.
Yeah.
You got Molly.
And then I thought even a more interesting play with Gronkowski was it was later in the game. It was a third down, and Brady threw to him over the middle, and it was actually broken up. But the way Brady did it, he looked right, looked right, looked right, and then basically threw over the middle to Gronk without even almost looking to the middle. There was no doubt in my mind he was throwing to Gronk no matter what. That was where he was going. He was trying to look people off. And that's how good he is. I mean, he is just the centerpiece of it's third down, I'm going to Gronk. And I don't think, I said these, he's the most irreplaceable player in football. I stand by that. He's back to making everybody else, averaging a touchdown a game when he's out. It just, he's remarkable. He is the man.
Yeah. Last four games, Patriots have converted, 49% on third downs for the season. They're around 36%. Brady's completion percentage is up around 65% for the season. It's at 59.
Right.
Just the night and day difference is remarkable.
And it's funny, because of that, nobody's complaining that he's having a spike-a-thon out here today or wherever that thing is.
Oh, he doesn't need to grow up this week?
No, he's fine this week.
It's sponsored.
He's carrying the offense.
Well, everything with him is about some angle. That's part of what some of the people that complain about him complain
about.
You, Fred,
certain weeks. Not this week, obviously, because he won a game for you.
I am a little concerned about that ankle thing. I mean, I don't think there's any more room
in
that injury report.
You already got the back, the forearm.
You have to have like an extra Excel spreadsheet for just him.
Well, there was a report after the game that he's,
quote,
fine.
Everybody said, what, is Fred the source?
I know.
Fred's the source. That was great.
But I think, the offense we're happy with. We're pleased with it. Offensive line, and we're not happy with Ridley, obviously.
Well, that's the,
so the running game we'll talk about. But in terms of Brady's weapons, we're back.
Well, the only thing I will say is the three rookies and two of them seemingly banged up and, Slater getting in there just a little bit. The depth is a little bit of it because I do think Amendola is still hurt. He just is whatever he is at this point with a groin torn from the bone. He's not dynamic. He's not making a lot of plays.
No.
Edelman is injury prone. We worry about him. And the young guys, if you don't have anybody else to step in, I'm still a little worried about the depth of the
worried about
game.
The depth. Oh, yeah, one injury makes a big difference. But right now, essentially, you've got Gronk, Vereen, Amendola, and Edelman.
And it's working.
So you've got four legitimate weapons right now. And then you throw in Tompkins and Dobson when they're healthy. If they ever, if they ever will be. But so you've got
it's very negative.
But the offense, I think, okay, we're good.
This was the offseason. I could have just elicited a nice, solid Paul and Fred argument, but I'm not going to do it.
We're happy with the offense right now.
Yes.
Correct? Are we?
Yes.
I am thrilled with the offense.
Yeah. This is Super Bowl offense.
I thought that it would get to this when Gronkowski got back. I thought it would be a little better without him than it was. As you recall, I was not as worried about the offense as you guys were. And then it turned out that I was wrong because they certainly struggled for the better part of the first couple of months. And then this is what I thought would be the case once Gronkowski was back in. I didn't envision them having much problems moving the football.
Yep.
And they certainly haven't.
So, but now we get to the defense. And, you know, with the health of the way it is in the defensive secondary, as you said, Andy, there may not be much they can do right now. They might just have to scramble for every win and hope for that one stop that gets the other team off serve, if you will.
Because even you mentioned Dennard, and I agree with you, Dennard is important. But the way we look at Dennard, he had reported surgery, and then a week later he's out there, and then the next week he's not. So is that a setback? Is that a re-injury?
I think it is, right?
Did you maybe do something by rushing him out there that this could now linger down the stretch here and into? So I don't even know what he's going to. Will he be healthy? When will he be healthy? And how do we get to that point?
I mean, they haven't thrown him on IR yet, but.
Oh, I don't think he's going on IR.
No, but I'm saying whatever happened in that game when they brought him.
Release!
No, whatever.
No, but I mean, like, I have no idea.
Whatever happened in that game where they threw him out there after the surgery, it wasn't enough to say, oh, that's it. He's
right,
done.
Right.
But it definitely, they wouldn't have thrown him out there unless they thought he could play. And they wouldn't have not played him this week unless something happened that changed that mindset. So he had to have some type of setback or aggravation of it, right?
Yeah, you'd think. It'd be weird to have a normal recovery include surgery, play, not play.
Right.
Like, that would feel a little weird.
Yeah. Right. I think that it's fair to second guess the decision to bring him back against Denver.
Sure.
I mean,
the wind.
He didn't even come close to making it through the game. And like Andy just mentioned, I don't necessarily think you needed him.
Right.
I don't think you needed him with that wind.
You know,
that
we don't, you know, with Tlaib and Arrington, both of those guys are nicked up. And, you know, we're pretty sure it's affecting Tlaib's play. Otherwise, like you said, he'd be one-on-one. They, you know, maybe they play a mix of man and zone if that's what they had to do. But they certainly let Tlaib play man. They're not. And Arrington, we're not sure how it's affecting his play, but he's on the injury report.
You're right. Yeah, you know? I think it is affecting his play. And I think you saw that a little bit by Ryan's added responsibilities this week. Ryan basically was the starter on the outside.
Yeah.
And then you're right, there was a big play to Hopkins that Arrington was caught on the outside and looked awful. That's as bad a play as a cornerback can make.
And what concerns me most is that now the Patriots have been in this state of injury on the defense for a few games now. So teams are getting some tape on what the Patriots can and can't do. And, you know, I think they're going to get more and more exploited because of that. You know,
maybe.
Because you go down the line, you know, what really can Villano and Chris Jones do? You know, how much has Andre Carter left in the tank? You know, what happens when we really focus on Chandler Jones? You know, there's tape there now of what happens when you do all this. How good is Dante Hightower? What is his weaknesses? You know, and that's what worries me. You know, back in the beginning of the season when they had Mayo and Kelly and everybody healthy, you know, whatever weaknesses.
Somebody brought up Wilfork there. Yeah,
Wilfork, you know, there were still those weaknesses of those other, but they were covered up by the excellent play of those other guys. Now things are starting to get exposed and on tape for other teams to learn from. And,
the one good
thing, you know, I worry about that.
Might be the back end isn't a certainty. The front is pretty much a certainty at this point. Who's going to be out there, their weaknesses, what you've seen. The back end, I don't know who's going to be out there. Maybe we will get Dennard back this week. Maybe Tlaib will take a step forward. Maybe Daron Harmon doesn't have to play.
Right.
There's a little uncertainty of who you're going to actually see.
We have no idea the degree of injuries to Tlaib and Arrington, and that makes so much of a difference to how you forecast this team. Now, a lot of fans, a lot of emails I've seen have said, you know, it's great that we're winning, but I have no confidence once we get to the playoffs. You know, I just feel like these weaknesses are going to get exploited.
Why?
But the thing is, step back and pretend you're not a Patriot fan and become a fan of one of the other teams in contention.
I would have the same fear.
Exactly. You're having the same fears about the playoffs.
But I think that Patriots fans look at themselves as favorites. And I think that you're right. I think if I were any other team, including Seattle, by the way. I know that Seattle is unbeatable at home and all that stuff, but I see weaknesses with everybody.
Boom.
And I do. I absolutely feel like if I were Denver, I'd worry that the defense is going to cost them a Super Bowl. Just like I'd worry about that for the Patriots.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Or there might be a limp breeze and Brady and Manning can't throw through it.
But speaking of Seattle, though, you know, we talked about the running game, and I know, Paul, you don't think they need one. But if you're playing Seattle, the way they're playing defense with that speed, if you can't run the ball, I think you're cooked. I really do. I think you can spread them out all you want. They're going to catch you. You've got to slow them down by running the ball, their defense. I think that's how you beat Seattle. And if you can't run it, you know, power football, then I don't think you have a shot because they're just faster than offenses are. They're just faster.
Could be.
You know, they will run you down.
I'd like Gronk in the middle of the
field. You know, those little plays that were working for the Texans early in the game where they'd, you know, we'd rush upfield, they'd dump it off to a wide open, you know, halfback, and he'd go for 16 yards. Seattle, that's a 4-yard gain, 5-yard gain at most.
Their defense is good. Their defense is fast. Their defense takes it to you. There's no question.
Seattle is the team that Andy is the poster child for the Andy argument against my argument about what can and can't win big in today's NFL. Seattle is everything that Andy says you can still win. You have a pedestrian offense with a, you know, a run-oriented game. You have a quarterback who can make plays and a great defense.
Right.
And you can win. Right. I mean, look at all the injuries. I mean, they're down there. Their two best wide receivers are out. Two of their three best cornerbacks were out last night, and they beat the second-best team in a blowout laugher of a blowout.
I turned it off at 10-0. I said,
it was over. I was on the phone with my dad. It was 3-0. I said, I think this game is already over. And as we were talking, the strip sack came and made it 10-0. And, you know, my father goes, well, you know, maybe they have a Patriots-like comeback. I said, I don't think Seattle's turning it over four times in the second half. It ain't going to happen. Right. It's just not. I mean, that's not the way they play.
Right. So they are the team to beat, I think, in the NFC right now.
No doubt.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt. Because now they're at home. Now they're guaranteed to be at home.
Their only concern is laying an egg in a Super Bowl because it's, you know, outside of their stadium.
But even then, you know, it would seem to be conditions that are very conducive to their style of play.
I just almost think it's not even about the location. It's like it's almost a phobia or something, some weird thing where they freak out when they're not at home.
Yeah,
might be.
They're 11-1.
No, I know.
So yeah, they haven't freaked out that bad.
But they've been thoroughly unimpressive.
They needed a coach.
I mean,
yeah,
there was a lot.
No, I know. But
they've had their
that
chances.
Defense
travels.
Will carry them.
Travels.
No, I do think that defense travels, and their style of play does travel. I gave it up to Andy. That's the argument that Andy's used against me.
Why do I feel like Pete Carroll's going to blow this for me? Right when I can tell Paul to suck it that a team built like that can, Pete's going to do something crazy.
And you know, last year when they were on the road, they played in a dome in a game they probably should have won, but they fell behind big and they couldn't dig out of the hole. This year they won't have to worry about being on the road like that. I'd be stunned if they don't make it to
the
Super Bowl.
Did you see those earplugs that the Saints had made? That Brett Favre told the Saints?
Yeah.
I don't really understand how they work where they block out all the ambient noise but allow them to hear each other.
I don't know.
Well,
I heard the story about it. I didn't see them.
I find that, like, weird. Like, how could that, like, what substance allows in the local?
I think teams, you know, you said that, you know, maybe the Seattle gets psyched out when they get outside of the, I think some teams get psyched out when they go in there.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not saying that it's not real, because I will rail against the people who, you know, like the Zolaks of the world that told me that wasn't the loud. Stop it. Okay, just because it's not the Patriots home crowd doesn't mean there's nothing that's, you know, honorable about what that's a legitimate loud crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's not overrated.
Freddie Boom Boom couples rising the flag.
But you can see it just watching them, just watching the offenses try to operate. How many times did Breeze get out of the huddle last night and there was like 4 seconds on the play clock? They either had to take a delay a game or a timeout. That's communication related, absolutely. But you wonder if maybe they go in and they're worried about all these different things. We're going to be able to do A, B, and C. And then all of a sudden, it's like halfway through the first quarter, and, you know, son of a bitch, we can't do A, B, and C.
Step slide.
Just do something. You know, there's got to be ways to combat it that teams haven't really, you know, and the Patriots were bothered by it too. You know, a couple of years, was it last year? When was the year we lost to them? Last year. You know, they were definitely bothered by that, especially in the second half when they, when Seattle made the comeback and all that. But it's a legitimate home field advantage. There's no doubt about it. There's nothing like that, I don't think, anywhere else.
What do you think about just going the opposite way and saying every player has communication in his helmet, not only just listening but talking? So a linebacker can talk to a lineman. quarterback can talk to and just have complete communication out.
See,
there.
Sounds like total chaos.
I want to go the opposite way.
How the hell are you going to do that?
Why not?
How are you going to get the channels?
You can figure it out.
I think with you know, one of the things Peyton did last night early in the game, I didn't stay with it. There was like the first play of the game, five guys go out, five different guys come in. I don't think you can do that in that environment. Right. That's, to me, it's like saying, well, they haven't seen our offense. First of all, your offense hasn't been all that impressive this season in general. Your offense hasn't been good in any away game. And even at home, you know, it's just been okay. It hasn't been New Orleans offense.
Well, they've been without Sproles for a few games, and I think that makes a big difference.
He missed a game and a half.
Well,
I mean,
the biggest difference is they don't have the weapons. Out of the receiver.
They don't have weapons.
It's Jimmy Graham and Sproles.
Absolutely.
That's the offense. And Sproles has missed a little bit of time here. So you're talking about one guy trying to carry it, and a guy who, by the way, I think showed himself soft here against Tlaib, but that's a separate issue. All
right. So I don't think you could just go in and say, well, I'm just going to make wholesale changes. You know, here's my package. It's second and eight. Here comes my five different guys. Oh, that's third and six. Here comes five different guys. You're asking for trouble. Because
is he not the second best coach in the NFL?
No, I just think that his game plan last night left a little something to be desired. And I didn't stick with the game, so I couldn't tell you how the rest of the game unfolded, but
it
was painfully apparent that style was going to lead to trouble. And I saw enough of the highlights to see the communication was a major, major issue for that offense.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline, 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. There was another thing I wanted to bring up, too. But
Antonio Smith?
Oh, yeah,
that's it.
The whole thing. I guess yesterday he came out and said he was just kind of kidding around about that.
I actually thought he was the whole time. I thought it was obvious. The whole, that's what he is. He's a whack job. He's the ninja assassin. He's the Tone Stradamus or whatever. I mean, he has a shtick.
Yeah.
So I kind of thought that's what that was. But in this day and age, it goes.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely got legs and was out there. And, you know, NFL.com said the league will not be looking into it. It's like, really? Was there ever any doubt that they
might? Well, I had a little doubt when Bill said it's a league matter.
Yeah.
I didn't really know what it was about being a league matter, but...
But my bigger question is, what the hell was he talking about? Not the spying part, but what adjustment was it that the Texans made on defense that the Patriots picked up, that the Patriots offense picked up? Because I really didn't see a big difference in their defense from the first half to the second.
Yeah, I didn't. There was nothing obvious.
That's what made me curious is, you know, what were they doing differently?
Yeah, there were no, you know, four safety looks or, you know, amoeba-like front where nobody was down.
The only thing I can think of is it was a protection thing that the Patriots did in the second half that they weren't doing in the first half.
All I could think of was just going sort of with the regular personnel and more fullback. But I think part of that was personnel related for the Patriots. And so I don't know what he was talking about. I don't really think he was talking about anything.
I don't either. And I thought his apology the next day sort of alluded to that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I regret, he said specifically using the word spying because of the previous connotation. And he didn't necessarily mean cheating. He just thought it was really coincidental that they were able to adjust. Now, but I do think that a subtle adjustment was what Andy just talked about, personnel. Tompkins was gone. So now you have limited wide receivers. So that, you know, maybe it was the plan to have Devlin have that big of a role, but maybe it wasn't. And maybe that particular part of the game plan was really helpful against what the Texans were doing. I did think it was interesting. It didn't get sensationalized nationally, which I thought was good. ESPN barely mentioned it. And I watched ESPN almost all day yesterday. I watched a bunch of different things. I watched primetime and I watched NFL Live. And when they were doing the Patriots highlights, they were focusing on the second half comebacks for the second week in a row. And then they briefly at the end, Trey Wingo made a comment about Antonio Smith. And he said something along the lines of, you might want to try to stop him in the second half. You know, no one seems to be able to do that. And they didn't really make a big deal of it. The Tomlin thing is getting a lot more play, and it's almost a week old at this point. That's still on the front burner.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised that the national guys didn't jump all over this Antonio Smith thing and took it for what it was. Nothing.
Is there something to be said about the longer a defensive coordinator has been that in this league, that Belichick or Brady can figure out their tendencies? You know, you look at Dick LeBeau. Brady seems to have his number.
Brady never had problems with Dick LeBeau. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. The longer these defensive coordinators have been in the league, the easier it is for the Patriots to pick up their tendencies.
I guess I don't understand the question.
Well, Wade Phillips, you know.
Yeah, I mean, how did Brady do against? I have no idea. You guys can help. I mean, I only know what he's done these three games against Houston. What has he done against Wade Phillips previously to that?
Oh, probably.
Like, he's never had any problem with Dick LeBeau. So it's
That's
not
what
like,
I'm saying.
So he didn't have to learn his tendencies. He killed him from the first time he got on the field.
But it's Belichick, too. I mean,
yeah.
Belichick,
no, whether you're giving credit to Brady or Belichick, he's never had to pick up any tendencies from Dick LeBeau.
You think there's anything to that,
Andy? But Dick LeBeau already had his tendencies. I mean, Dick LeBeau has been around forever.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so the book was out.
I think, to me personally, it's all about the teams that game plan as opposed to do what you do.
And
Dick LeBeau is an I do what I do guy.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is playing into Belichick's hands when you're an I do what I do guy. You know, Rex Ryan is a game plan guy. Occasionally, Rex Ryan has caused problems for the Patriots. He certainly knows all of Rex Ryan's tendencies at this point, but he changes.
Well, that's, he changes.
Dick LeBeau is a game plan. This is what I do. I'm not going to change my game plan to you. Matter of fact, the one time he changed was that game in Pittsburgh a couple of years ago that they had a lot of success. Remember, he didn't do the zone blitzes as much, and he did more man coverage, and they were able to they ended up winning the game
Patriots had a slim chance
25-17 they ended up winning the game, but the offense did nothing
right.
in the game.
They were,
and that was the one time Dick LeBeau ever didn't just quote unquote I'm Blitzberg, this is what I do, you know, zone blitz here and there and all that stuff. I think, to me, it's about what a guy his philosophy is. If you let Belichick know what you're going to do, we're a Tampa 2 team. We're going to play Tampa 2. Ah, son of a bitch, they beat us playing Tampa 2.
Brad,
you're
going to
lose.
Yeah.
You're going to lose.
Right. All right. Web radio.
I thought you were going to fight more there.
518-980-398.
I think it's an interesting point about Dick LeBeau and Wade Phillips. I don't know the Wade Phillips history like I do Dick LeBeau. The Patriots have always killed Dick LeBeau. Fred's right.
By the way,
what do you want to eat, by the way?
Small cheese Coke. Andy
Small
had
cheese Coke
because we're going to Omega, right?
Yeah. What do you want, Omega?
Yeah. So Andy, you did 4 hours on EEI yesterday.
I did,
and you're getting these big gigs. I think your philosophy is a good one. Whereas Paul is kind of hitching his wagon to the leader right now. You're jumping on the sinking ship, thinking, okay, they'll need me more, and I think it's working.
I don't think they're sinking,
Fred. You did
I think
Dennis,
they're a tremendous broadcast.
You did a Dennis and Callahan 4 hours, and now you did a Silk and Holly for 4 hours.
Silk and Holly.
And yesterday you ended up being on with Bill Belichick.
Yes, right in that very seat.
And I think you did a good job.
Thank you, Fred.
I think you did a good job.
Appreciate that, boss.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I
took full credit as well for that being one of their better Belichick interviews so far this season. I said, obviously, it's the interviewer.
Right.
You know, they've had I think last week they pulled the plug like 4 minutes in. They just, you know, basically gave
they
up.
They bailed.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Because it's funny because they have like a little show rundown thing and it's like 24 minutes is blocked out for Belichick. And I'm thinking, he only went 5 last week. I mean, they pulled the plug.
Yeah, no. Not
yesterday. We had him going. Fireside chat.
He had some good responses. I think that he took the window that you opened and jumped through it and used it to talk about the inconsistency of the refs.
Right.
That's definitely on his mind.
That crew doesn't throw any flags.
And then I was telling, I don't know if it was you or Paul, but right after that interview, and I'm sure it was coincidence, but Peter King had a story online where he detailed all the inconsistencies of the refs this year with photos talking about, you know, the same play, different call. And, you know, detailing that whole thing. So it's something that, you know, people are starting to talk about this year.
But you're always going to have it.
I know, but the question is, can you make it better? Is there a way to make these guys better or
yes.
other guys better?
Younger.
You think it's an age thing?
I mean, in most fields, these guys would be about done.
I just think it's wrong. If you can identify a crew and say, this crew doesn't throw as many flags as this other crew, that's bad. It's good to have that crew, but it's a bad thing overall that they're not consistent.
But so you don't buy into the old player-coach thing as long as it's being called evenly, called the same both ways.
I think that there are rules and they should be enforced. And you know,
but a lot of rules are judgment calls, holding, pass interference.
It is hard.
It's up to interpretation.
That's my question. Is there a way to make it better?
I think younger would be a way. Like, I don't think you should be, all your officials are like these 65-year-old businessmen. Like, isn't there something to be said for guys like in their 40s would be okay? You can still get experienced guys. They can still be a 20-year referee. He's, you know, SEC for 8 years. He did this, whatever. But to have this crew, and now you'd probably get in trouble if you tried to do this because it would probably be age discrimination, right? If you tried to just clean out all the old
groups.
Well,
but the problem is, and I don't know this for a fact, but once they get to the SEC or the Big Ten, how old are they? In other words, the progression to get to the NFL, by the time you get to the NFL, how old are these guys usually?
I can't imagine it's impossible that you could create a system that would allow you to have 45-year-old officials that are good.
But the NCAA doesn't necessarily care about.
But is that where they all come from?
Well, I don't know, but college football doesn't care about being the NFL's feeder system. They want the best guys too.
Right, but if the guy is the best guy, there's no shame in when he's 35 to 40, he does college, and then at 40, he goes to the NFL. Because they're going to look to
Get to be the best guy by 35?
I don't believe you can be old and be the best guy anymore.
No.
I think people slow down. I think, you know, we're seeing it with you. You're losing it. You're not as good as you once were. I'm seeing it with my mother. Whatever age she is, she's in her 60s. She forgets more stuff. She doesn't react as quickly.
Are they that old?
A lot of them are old coots.
Well, speaking of your mother, Christian sees it too. He's on the line of the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Chris with a TIAN.
Well, your mother hasn't lost any steam to me, buddy.
Still like a spring chicken.
All right, let's talk Patriots.
I like the little chuckle at the end.
All right, okay, all right. I got two things. A, I'm either whistling past the graveyard, or B, we're 9-3 and sniff. So yeah,
you got that right.
You know, 9-3, which is great, but I'm definitely with you guys in that I'm worried that, you know, they had five guys starting on defense Sunday, if that was accurate according to the broadcast. And, you know, you just lost so much, and I just think there comes a point where there's only so much depth. And here we are again, 34-31, you know?
Right.
And the biggest thing is the run defense. I think my hope is that Tlaib, I'm not saying he's going to get better because you don't get healthier as the season goes along, as Paul always says, but hopefully they can manage it. Dennis is obviously the big unknown, but that defensive line is really troubling, and Spikes, his knee, definitely, you can see that's affecting him. And I already said my piece on Hightower. I don't have to go there again.
Well, the Christian, here's the thing to make you feel a little better, and step back and go and start analyzing the other teams, and you'll find that they should have worries going into the playoffs too.
That's why I don't think it's an either or to say 9-3, or you don't have to whistle. You're acknowledging you have injuries on defense, your run defense is questionable, your running game is questionable. You can acknowledge them all and still say, but we're winning, we're beating teams, we're winning playoff type games, so there's no reason we can't continue this. If it ends, maybe one of those things that I'm telling you about is going to be the reason it ends.
Right.
Yeah.
And no, that's going to be the case for all the teams. You know,
yeah,
I mean, because, you know, like Brady said after the game, you know, everybody's, you know, only one team's going to go home happy. And I don't think it's going to be because, well, you ignored this or you took this too lightly. They are what they are. They're banged up just like everybody else. And defensively, they're probably not good enough right now. But offensively, you are, and we'll see if you end up being able to outscore everybody.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, getting back to your point about looking at everybody else in the league, sure, absolutely. You know, you look at a team like Indy that's had some really bad losses on their schedule. Denver, obviously, with their defense. Cincinnati, do you really have any faith in them and that coaching staff going forward, especially with the loss of his name just giving me right now in the middle
Atkins.
Of the line, the defense.
Gino Atkins.
Thank you, yeah. So, I mean, that's a huge blow. Again, another team with injuries. And yeah, I mean, here you are, 2 seed. You'll get a home playoff game, well, you know, against some crappy wild card team,
yeah,
more than likely. And then next thing you know, you probably in Denver for the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, I do think it's important to get that bye, though. I will say that. I would not like the alternative of having to play 3 games. Not that they couldn't. I think they could do it because of the same reasons we already talked about. I think the chances are obviously much easier if you can play one at home and then get to the AFC Championship.
Plus just law of averages. I mean, we mentioned all these guys, Gronkowski, Edelman, Amendola.
Someone's going to get banged up.
Somebody who would play in that wild card game, that might cost them the ability to play at their best the next week or moving forward. And you just don't want to do that. You don't want to increase the chances you lose somebody important.
And they do have, you know, I think there's a chance that they could lose the bye. Because I think the winner of the Indy-Cincinnati game has a reasonable chance of winning out.
Didn't you guarantee me like a week ago in the paper?
What makes you think I don't think the Patriots are going to win out?
Oh, okay.
I think the Patriots are going to win out.
I thought like 2 weeks ago in PFW you told me there was no chance they weren't a two seed.
That's not what I said in the paper, but it's what I said to you.
That remark has been made.
Yes, that remark has been made. Not in print, but okay.
Only Fred's words end up in print, Fred.
Yeah, great. I mean, that's what I feel that the Patriots will get a bye. I actually think that even if they lose a game, they'll still end up with a bye because I think, as Christian astutely pointed out, Cincinnati is Cincinnati. And even if they win this week, I think they'll find a way to lose a game that they shouldn't lose.
Yeah, that's just how I feel. So hopefully we're right.
All right, Christian.
Andy, great job yesterday. I just want to say great job on the radio.
Thank you very much. I was inspired by your mother. Cut him off.
It was good. You never win those, and you won that one.
That's because Fred sometimes leaves the line open too long.
You won that
one.
You
need to get rid of
it. That was a better one than his to come on.
Chester's in Oregon. Hey, Chester.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Fred, how was pre-party in Houston, by the way?
I have to say it was really good. It wasn't as wacky as the Seattle one. Seattle was madness, but this one was really, really well organized. She said about 300. I'd say about 200 fans there.
Only we can fluff the numbers up.
And, you know, it was real good. Jamie in Houston was there. I met him.
Nice.
And shout out to Fritzy the Pug.
The Pug?
Yep. Yeah.
Did they name Miss Houston or what?
Yeah, I didn't stay long enough for that.
Were you intrigued by the
Fred
talent?
And I got the heck out of it.
Not really.
Is that what Shannon Sharp called the touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald, the pug?
But they had a nice memorabilia thing where you could bid on silent auction. Really nice stuff for Earl Campbell, Drew Brees, nice. Larry Bird, Ted Williams.
Nice.
So it was good stuff. Like I said, well run. Jonathan Kraft showed up.
Good food?
Food was good. So
you liked Diablo Loco?
Yeah. So it was a good night.
Was there any issues later from Diablo Loco going through you?
No. But I have to say, Chester, the one in Seattle was nuts.
Yeah, we brought down the house, and I'm watching out to see if anybody can top that, you know. And just to kind of piggyback on Seattle, I was actually at that football game last night.
Oh, nice.
Against the Saints. Man, one thing I got to say is good thing I got a hook up on a sweet seat because that was a cold football game. It reminded me of some Foxborough games. I mean, near freezing and, you know, really, really cold drizzle. But, guys, I got to tell you something, man. That fan base is something special. I mean, that place was absolutely deafening. From what I understand, they broke the Guinness Book of World Records again last night.
Once again, by a decimal point, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
You know, so they got that ball back in their court. But, you know, it's just another sign to me that just says, man, that this Seattle team is good. But, man, they feed off of that fan noise like nobody else. And you know, Drew Brees was an absolute deer in headlights. I'm sure everybody in America saw that, but just unbelievable. And to me, I threw a question out there to the PFW elite guys is, you know, where's the Gillette fan base in terms of this crowd noise? And, you know, I know there's a certain level of stadium design that helps you with that, but, man, we really got to start making some noise. And I think it starts here with Cleveland. Andy, I hate to say I told you so, but I knew Ben Tate was going to be an issue.
You were right.
And,
The run defense is worse, and I was mocking his 1 yard a week earlier, but he consistently churned out yardage.
You did kept focusing on the 1 yard.
I had him on my fantasy bench because I'm too much of a homer. I couldn't deal with it.
What? You idiot?
Idiot. Nah, but look good for me. I had the playoffs already clinched.
But wait, you knew he was going to have a good game, and you benched him.
What can I say? I went with my heart over my brain. You know, Fred Kirsch-itis.
I mean,
guys, I guess the big thing I want to leave with you is, what the hell are we going to do with this run defense? I mean, is it what it is? I mean, I know we're thin. Do we look at free agency? Is there anybody out there that can help us, you know, clog the middle? I know we got Sobowaga, we've got Saliga, and, you know, I'm just looking to see a flash here. But, you know, after Denver, I was convinced that was a situation that was drawn up by design to force Peyton Manning to continue to run the football. And, you know, after seeing this Houston somewhat of a debauchery on that run defense, like, you know, I just got to leave it with you guys. What are we going to do? You know, we've got 4 weeks to work this out. I'm on the other side of court of opinion with Christian. I think we've got what it takes to get to the Super Bowl. I really do. But we got to continue to win some football games here and tighten the screws. So run D, what are we going to do? Arrington blows on the outside. I hope that's the last we've seen of that. But that's all I got, guys. You take it easy.
All right. Thanks, Chester.
Thanks, Chester.
I think on defense, it really, you know, they've always been a game plan team. But more so than ever, it's, you know, how do we match up just the right way? And it's going to be a real thin line. One screw up and you're done.
But they're not stopping the run. They're not. Well, they may be better.
No, they're not.
We've always said it over the years. You can scheme to stop the pass.
Yeah.
If you just get pushed around, there's nothing you can do about
no.
it. We're seeing the value that Vince Wilfork had in front of Brandon Spikes. Now, I know he's got a bum knee, but I also think we're seeing Spikes not play as well because he doesn't have a guy in front of him eating up a guard and a center every single play and allowing him to shoot those gaps and blow people up. So I think that's an issue. And, you know, I'm going to be honest, my Samoans haven't lived up to my hype. I've been a little disappointed.
Sopoaga is getting killed.
Yeah.
Eagles are right. He's done.
You know, you get a chance almost to see more when you watch on TV. And in this particular week on some of the replays, 4 or 5 times, Andy, we're like, whoa, he just ended up on his back.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots aren't the only team that kind of let guys go that they think can't do it anymore.
Right.
You know, other teams do that too. And when we pick one of those guys up, maybe he didn't have that much left.
Right,
Ed Reed is another example.
I don't know why you're so picking on Ed Reed. They only gave up one touchdown from long range this week. He's getting better every week.
But you know what I mean? It's like we're not the only team that all our cast-offs.
But you didn't have any options. It doesn't make it a bad move. I think it was the right move.
No, it was the right move.
You
at
had
the
a
time.
Hole. They had to
do it.
You went with the best available option that fit that need.
And I do it again.
I would too.
They
but
had
the bottom
to make,
line
they
is,
had to make
he's not playing all that well.
Right.
You have two rookies who are A, probably not perfectly suited for it, and B, probably getting worn down.
Yeah.
We're hitting rookie wall time.
Think about some of those games in that stretch there, you know, week 5, week 6, week 7, with Chris Jones.
Chris Jones now. He's
every
saying Chris Jones.
Single snap defensively of a game.
Right.
I mean, that's not necessarily something that anybody was.
Look, I think the value of Vince Wilfork is now.
Well, all the
evident.
Sacks really have just stopped.
But again, and I talked about this yesterday. Yes, Vince Wilfork was awesome, but you went from Vince Wilfork to nobody. The term I used yesterday was the Delta. If you had just had a 4-year veteran who was a backup to Wilfork for 4 years, you might not have had, you know, scrambling, but you had an undrafted rookie, a guy who bounced around to two teams before he got here. Those are your guys you turned to.
Oh, Tommy Kelly, and he got hurt.
There were problems coming. There's no question. And Andy's point, it's not anyone's fault because I wouldn't necessarily disagree with it, but you should have Kyle Love and Brandon Dederich in the middle, and you don't. You know, Kyle Love, for the health situation, although he is back playing, and Dederich evidently had been given many chances and just wasn't a and I have no problem with making a move there.
Right.
You know, if he was lazy and not doing the things that he needed to do, I have no problem with moving on. But there's your third, fourth, fifth year guys, Andy, that would have been stepping in and playing bigger roles than they have in the past. And all of a sudden, now you have no alternative. The young guys that they have, haven't done it yet. A guy like Marcus Forston had an opportunity. He's back on the practice squad, so clearly they didn't think he was up to par. And, you know, they go out and get now, C-Liga, and we'll see if he can do it. I didn't really notice too much, but I did notice Sopoaga the other day. And we talked about...
He had the one sack, but...
And that's not what he's out there for.
And that was also... Exactly. I was just going to say,
also
I don't
20
care
minute,
if he gets sacked.
Yeah, that was also a 20-minute sack. That,
right,
you know, the
right.
one... Yeah, he had plenty of time to throw the ball. But the thing I would, you know, I kind of agree with Andy. In retrospect, I don't know how they were able to stop Carolina on the ground. I really don't, because that's a team that does run the ball pretty well, and they were able, that's the only team that they've been able to slow down on the ground.
Well, I think when the Patriots need to do one thing, they'll probably figure out a way to do it.
But Sunday, the one thing was probably stop Ben Tate, and they didn't. That's what I'm worried about.
Was it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think it was just keep things in front of them, play it safe.
Well, that didn't work either.
Yeah.
I mean, Fred, is that
the opposite of a...
This is a historically bad offense. This is the 30th ranked offense in football. They don't throw it or run it well. They had two rushing touchdowns all year.
Well, the first half, the Patriots set them up with good field position, you know.
They did. And in the second half... It didn't matter. They took the bad field position and drove to go ahead scores twice.
You know, and then the Brady interception, that would have been points. I don't know.
But the Brady interception would have been points for who?
For the Patriots.
Why?
It changes the game. It was like in like in the 15-yard line when they intercepted
on their own.
Yeah, I know, but
so why would that have been points?
But the Patriots have for the Patriots.
But that's what I'm saying. So you're saying that if they didn't throw an interception there, they would have driven 85 yards
for
a touchdown.
Absolutely.
Okay, well that was I believe a third down that would have been a punt had it not been picked off.
I thought the Patriots were on the other
the
Texas side.
Houston took over at the 30 on that possession. That was in the Patriot. That was in the Patriots' end. That contributed to the bad field position.
Patriots were at Houston's midfield.
Houston's interception came.
Patriots were at the 49.
At the 49.
They were at midfield.
When they got picked off?
Yeah.
And they got returned to the 31, I want to say?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was on the Patriots' side of the
field. Yeah, they were moving.
Houston.
Yeah, but not exactly the 15.
Houston's
and if the play that
they
had been
moving.
Intercepted, I mean, all Brady had to do was put a little bit more loft on that, and Gronkowski's got another 30, 40-yard pickup.
Yeah, it was a terrible throw.
Yeah. It was a bad throw.
Now, Houston's interception.
Gronkowski was open. He was behind the guy.
Houston's interception happened at the 20-yard line.
Right.
18-yard line, as a matter of fact. So that did take points off the board for Houston.
Let's go to Dave in Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, John Rooks here.
What's up, Dave?
Hey, I totally agree with what you're saying, you know, with the, you just can't replace them, but it is what it is. And we are 9-3. And I can honestly see us running this table here, being the number two seed and getting that first seed. And, you know, there's a lot of things people aren't talking about. You know, this game's in New York. The Super Bowl is in New York. And,
no one's talking about
it. I heard they're the Farmer's Almanac, not that I live by, is saying there's going to be you know, it's going to be a really bad snowstorm that weekend.
Is that right?
Yeah, they are saying that. But we know that's crap. I mean, they can't predict the weather tomorrow, never mind 2 months in advance.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. But I think if you look at it that way, and it is a shitty, you know, snowy, cold,
yeah, we can't say that.
Don't cut them out.
Better than the Patriots to play in that kind of weather. All right, because, I mean.
That's a good point.
Let's face it, guys. Brady is a cold water, you know, cold weather quarterback.
Right.
All right. You know, Peyton Manning has proven it time and time again that, he's played his career in a dome.
But they can't play Peyton Manning in it. Seattle. Seattle would worry me in that weather, to be honest with you.
They're going to play good defense. They're going to run the ball. He's got a knack to make a play.
Right.
Supposedly he has big hands.
Seattle would worry me. Well, that's supposedly one of the things that allows him to overcome the fact he's so small.
Right. So big hands.
Seattle would worry me in that weather. Whereas if they played in the dome, I think the Patriots would kill Seattle.
Not the same team away from home. They're not, guys.
That's true.
Well, neither are the Patriots.
That's true, too.
Their defenses, though. I think their defense is.
Both teams' defense is the same.
We can't make the argument that no team is the same away from home, right?
Indeed.
Very few.
Except for Philadelphia.
Yeah, Philadelphia is better at away.
They are a different team, but a better team.
They're the anomaly. They're the one team that plays better away from home than they do at home.
You know what I want to talk to you guys, though, about? I mean, I know that, you know, the defense is being slapped around a little bit. And to me, my biggest complaint with the defense right now is Cal Arrington. Okay, I understand that, you know, we have like five defensive backs that are hurt. And before I get into it, hats off to Khalib. I mean, you can see this kid is hurt, but he's going out there and he's giving it his all. I mean, he's definitely not back from that injury and he's not the same player. But I think he realizes that, you know, hey, he's going to get out there and do what he can do. And I really think that it says a lot about his character to me, you know, because, I mean, I know, beginning of the season, a lot of people were like, oh, we have to sign him to a long-term deal, sign him. And I was one of those people that said sign him. And I think that that's something that the Patriots need to look at, too, that this kid, you know, in a contract year, and he knows he's not 100%, but he's still going out there and giving you everything he has.
And would he do it if it wasn't a contract?
Well, that's the
year.
Question. But, he might not be on the field if it weren't a contract.
But my
year.
Question is, why doesn't Arrington get that?
Get what?
Why doesn't he get the similar props for his character?
Because he hasn't played at the high level.
No. I'm not saying that he deserves props for playing like Tlaib. I'm saying props for playing injured. My hat's off to Aqib Tlaib for going out there. Well, if anyone has a reason to shut it down, it would be Arrington. He got the money. And he's still out there doing everything he can.
But
and
he's never
no
played
doubt.
At a
That's
high a level.
But I'm not saying
and
he, that.
And
I'm not comparing them
give
as
up the big game.
I'm not comparing them as players.
But I think that matters. He's never shown you that he's great ever. And Tlaib hasn't given up while he's struggling. Hasn't given up the 66-yard
play. He didn't get up the 66-yard play. But 2 weeks ago, he cost you a game because he played with his head right up as you know what.
Okay.
You know, but he, you know, it's everything is okay because he's hurt. But Arrington, I know, is hurt. He's been in and out of about five different games this year, and he doesn't get that leeway. He only played 18 snaps the other day.
Right.
According to Mike Reese, I should say. I don't know that. I don't have that official number.
I think
think that fans don't see the
That's what I'm saying,
difference
right
in the play between Arrington Hurt and Arrington.
Talib's play has been bad lately.
Yeah.
And I don't hold him even 1% responsible for that, because I know that, like Dave just said, I know why. I know why he's been subpar lately. But I'm just saying, it just seems like it's different rules.
Plus, Arrington's making more money.
Let's go to Eddie in Maryland. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, what's up, guys? Long time no hear.
Yeah, what's going on?
Not much. Hey, I just want to bring up a point real quick, guys. You know, I'm hoping for the best. I really am, because obviously, you know, we're all Patriots fans. We're hoping for the best. But at the end of the day, we have to look at, why is this defense as bad? Every year, it's this broken record. Every year, we hope the defense plays good so that Brady does. You know, Brady can win it all. We hope the defense somehow can play good. But it's just, we keep hoping on Tom Brady, and nobody ever wants to say what, you know, the elephant in the room. Why is Bill Belichick's defense just so scrubby? I mean, why are they...
Scrubby.
Well, no.
They are. I mean, at the end of the day, they are. We can argue they are. I mean,
But in the beginning of the season, Eddie, weren't you like, hey, this defense, this is different. These guys are playing better. This is a defense that, you know, can win you playoff games and just games of the regular season. Weren't you saying that early?
Because of one guy, though.
Well, it doesn't matter, but they were saying that.
Right?
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen the defense of the first two or three games play against a team that could play. That's the only thing that I would say. They're definitely hurt now. Fred's right.
But Fred, at the end of the day, Fred, every year we say the same things, and I just want you guys
to... No, we weren't saying that early in the year. In the last four years, in fact, it was the opposite. Early in the season, we were saying these guys stink. And then toward the end of the season, they'd get a little bit better. But we were saying they stink in the early part of the season. This year, we were like, hey, they're actually winning us games while Brady and the offense can't do it.
They were winning us games. They were. And I can't argue that. But I'm not even going to place the blame on the players. I'm not blaming the players. You know, the Chris Jones and Volano in the middle. I'm not blaming those guys. I mean, what I'm blaming is the system. Look at any of the top teams the past 5 years. The top teams in the NFL have attacking style defenses, and until Bill gets it out of his A that you can't play that two gap, that defense does not work in the NFL anymore. You got to be aggressive. So until from March, until you hear it in March, you know, they get a new philosophy on defense, it's just, we're going to be hoping that Tom Brady gets it done. And it just seems like that's so frustrating. It doesn't have to be that way. That's my only, you know, I guess, problem with the whole the Belichick system. It's just, in the NFL, it just does not work. There's two gapping. It doesn't. You got to be attacking. The top teams in the NFL all have attacking style defenses, except for us.
Well, part of the problem goes further than just the philosophy, but it is a philosophy. It's the size of the player. We've talked about it. The big linebackers, Hightower and Mayo and Spikes, and not going to the more athletic. And that obviously plays in line with the being more aggressive attacking on defense if you have better athletes out there. I think that's a fair criticism. I think it's fair to question that and wonder, but that ties in to me to the drafting as well.
Yeah, well, that's one reason why I really like the Chandler Jones draft pick, because I thought that was a departure from the norm.
So, yeah, I'm hoping like everybody else. I hope that we somehow we get lucky, but it just, gosh, it really, do we really have to always be so lucky and pray that Tom Brady has a stellar playoff?
No, I hear that, and it is frustrating. But this year, it's directly, you know, accountable to the fact that they got hurt. I think if Wilfork and Mayo and Talib was healthy and
that's
Kelly was in there,
it's unfortunate they didn't get a chance to play against the good teams. With the
teams would not be running up the gut.
No,
yeah,
that I think you could say with certainty they would not be allowing running yards like this if Wilfork was out there.
Right.
No, that's true. That is certainly true. But until Bill changes that philosophy, I guess you just have to keep hoping Tom Brady can do it.
Yeah.
And I just fear that, gosh, it might not happen. I hate to say that, but it just might not happen again.
All right.
I hope so. Yeah, it does.
All right. Thanks, guys. Eddie.
Thanks, Eddie.
I mean, it would be nice to have that playmaking stud on defense that some other teams have.
Well, I would like style, but I don't know, like, you know, who are the top teams with these great defenses?
Right.
Seattle. Yeah. That's it.
And
Kansas City.
And when you look at Seattle, who's the one guy? I mean, everyone knows Sherman's name, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they play a swarming, fast team defense. Mm-hmm. It's not like Patrick Willis, you know, they had that, or Ray Lewis in the middle. They, all these guys contribute.
Yeah, I was stunned when, what's his name, had the strip sack last night, and they said, you know, he leads Seattle with 7.5 sacks or whatever.
Now. Cliff Averill.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
I thought it was Averill that had the strip sack.
Maybe it wasn't during the strip.
And but you're right, it was a low number.
Yeah.
Because they spread it around a little bit.
And that's, so it's not like you have to have that 19.5 sack guy. But let's be fair, the Patriots are going in that direction. You have your Richard Sherman, you hope, or Tlaib is your version of that, your shutdown corner. And Chandler Jones, you're hoping, is becoming, you know, taking that next step. He is, for whatever it's worth, the AFC Defensive Player of the Month last month. And I mean, you're moving in that direction.
I really, again, and it is unrealistic to think that your defense is going to remain intact all season. But if you had those guys that I just mentioned, this, we would not be.
I don't know the answer to that question. You and I have argued about this. I agree with you that it's definitely, I think, within 100% reality, they would not be allowing running yards like this. I don't know. They played some bad offenses when they played really well. I wasn't convinced yet. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. All right. All right, webradio@patriots.com. We have a lot of emails coming in. Let's see. I haven't had a chance to really look at it. Leo writes in from Connecticut. I love when Dane Fletcher is in the lineup. Why does he not play more often? Our linebackers can't cover my grandma, anyone out of the backfield, running backs or tight ends.
Well, you got part of your answer yesterday on EEI when Belichick said he's quite happy with Dante Hightower and said he wishes some other guys were playing at the level Dante Hightower is. So that's part of it. Despite the fact that everybody in Patriot Nation has been ripping him for a while, Bill apparently seems pretty comfortable.
Yeah, I can't say as I agree with Bill. Obviously,
no one does.
Obviously, I'm going to defer to him on all matters of football, but I haven't seen the play from Hightower to elicit that sort of response, and I wonder if he's maybe trying to give him a public vote of confidence there. But the flip side of that, the Dane Fletcher stuff, Dane Fletcher, I think, is a solid backup linebacker that can fill in and do some things, and I like him on the team. I think he's a good special teams player. I don't see the plays that people seem to be talking about. He was involved in a fumble 2 weeks ago against Denver, made a nice play on Monte Ball on that screen, made a good play. But, you know, he was out there a lot the other day. He's part of that. You know, those guys, they had opportunities to make plays the other day. Now, I'm not necessarily singling him out as the reason, but, you know, Dane Fletcher played the entire second half against Denver when they couldn't stop the run. You know, and everybody chalked it up as game plan, and that's what they wanted them to do.
Well, he was letting them run 8 yards.
I know, but, you know, I just...
Do as he's told.
You know, and again, I don't want to make this out to be, oh, Paul's killing Dane Fletcher. No, I'm not. I think Dane Fletcher is...
More the Patriots in general you're killing.
I think Fred's right about the injuries on defense have dramatically impacted the performance, and I think this is different than the last few years.
Yeah.
I think Fred's right. This isn't the same way it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. They're down, in my opinion, two really important pieces in Wilfork and Mayo, and it's certainly not helping that you're missing Kelly, too. And your secondary guys have been banged up. Look what happened to Denver in the second half to their defense, missing their two starting corners. When Champ Bailey, three of their four starting secondary guys were out. What happened? Roger Scrimmati, Champ Bailey, and Raheem Moore were out in the second half, and Brady ripped them to shreds. That's what happens.
Right.
Defenses aren't good enough to begin with. Then you lose players, and you get killed.
Bob writes in, he lists all the teams, home teams, that blew halftime leads in the league this year. And then he goes on to say, it's truly remarkable during the regular season at home that Tom Brady has never lost a game in which the Patriots led at the half. Current Brady streak is at 94 games. And another truly remarkable streak is during the regular season, Brady has not lost to an AFC opponent at home since week 10 of the 2006 season to the New York Jets, which happened to be the last game played before Kraft decided to change the turf. The reason I bring up both stats is the national press today is touting Russell Wilson as having never lost at home in his 14 regular season starts, which is impressive, but not nearly as impressive as these two streaks by Brady.
Okay. The halftime streak is remarkable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you don't lose a game at home that you're leading at the half, I mean, leading at the half in the NFL is not really a big deal.
No.
And when you is I'll take his word for it. 94-0 when leading at the half at home.
That's unbelievable.
That's unbelievable.
Alex in Philly. Well, we won. Shouldn't be surprised that it wasn't pretty. Regular no season. Patriots game has
oh,
been
yeah.
all season.
You said that.
Except
not
for
the
that.
Ones that matter.
Well, like the AFC Championship game last
That's
year.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I thought I was reading an email, but I guess not.
We ignore the ones that matter.
Shouldn't be surprised.
And by the way, it's impressive for a young guy to start his career as opposed to taking the sampling in the middle of the greatest quarterback ever's career Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
That's not fair.
And the second part of
That's
that.
That's ridiculous.
But the second part of that whole, against an AFC team at home, that's not impressive to me at all.
No, but you don't, I mean, for a young guy to be perfect is impressive.
Yeah.
It's not as impressive for Brady to be perfect. He's known
and,
as that.
And as
he's
Wilson,
known as great and perfect.
And as Wilson's doing it when he started, you know, it was like when Brady started in 2001. You know, he was doing it with a team that wasn't considered.
Well,
right now, it's easy to say, oh, Seattle's the best team
right.
in football.
Well, some,
that ain't what Seattle was but, when he took
right,
over.
But some of our fans believe that, you know, whether it's ESPN or any other analyst, whenever they talk about a quarterback in the league, they should always end the analysis with, but Brady's better.
Right. Except for the fact that, you know how Russell Wilson.
Up for that. I'm okay with that.
You know how Russell Wilson maintained his perfect start at home?
How's that?
Beating Brady.
That's true.
Are you saying Russell Wilson's better than Brady?
No. That's ridiculous.
And that was a game that the Patriots were winning.
Yeah.
Should have won.
Wasn't really Brady's fault that Tavon Wilson and Nate Ebner were on the field.
That was when we were letting up, you know, 60-yard plays like they were 2-yard runs. Alex says, shouldn't be surprised that it wasn't pretty. No Patriots game has been all season except for that aberration against the Steelers.
Dick LeBeau
the offense
died.
Is clearly back, and this defense
Even that game
is also
24-24.
Back to being god-awful again. Don't know that it is fixable this season, just too many key injuries. So with all the distractions and struggles this season, we are right back where we have been. Offense good, defense bad. Relax, Fred, before you say anything. I'm not complaining. I know, 9-3. Anyway, with Ridley.
How did he spell the?
No, I just did that. Anyway, will Ridley ever see the field again, barring injury? And will the Patriots ever escape Spygate?
No.
Like anybody needs to cheat to beat Houston. Screw them. Misery loves company.
You beat them by 3.
Man, what about the other 10 teams that beat you? Were they spying on you, too?
They're never going to get rid of Spygate. It's there. It's low-hanging fruit, as Fred likes to say, for anybody that is prone to do those types of things.
As long as Belichick is the coach, they're gonna deal with that.
Yeah, but what if Josh McDaniels takes over? Then people say, yeah, he wasn't.
Well, you know where he learned from. It's going to be, yeah, I don't have, we talked about it at the beginning of the show. The other teams... What you know? Everybody's got issues, man. 99 problems.
Murray's in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Hey guys, love the show. Andy's my hero because I love breasts too. Motorboat. As for the Patriots having slow starts to games recently, I wouldn't be too worried. I'll bet that diabolical genius Belichick is already working on some super secret brainwashing technology to make the players think every quarter they play in is the third quarter. With this program in place, we'll beat the Browns 72 points. While I was happy to see Coach Belichick fumbled Ridley out of the lineup, I do hope he can work his way back. He's got too much talent to go down like that, though I personally believe he's just Lawrence Maroney in disguise. I wonder what odds Jeff in Vegas is giving that Ridley will see the field again this year. Anyway, guys, keep up the great work, and let's go Patriots. P.S. Jets suck.
Yeah, let's get into that.
We didn't talk about Ridley with the previous email. I remembered that. We should probably get
Ridley
into that.
Active this week?
I think he's going to be.
Against
Fred
Cleveland?
Doesn't.
I think he's going to be.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
What do you do?
I wouldn't play him in a significant a high leverage situation ever again. I'm done with him.
Ever again.
So you're planning on letting him go in the offseason?
Probably.
Too?
Probably.
Really? Okay, and that says a lot because you were pretty high on him.
Yeah. But as I've said, so he's active this week. He has a great game this week. Who gives a rat's ass? That changes nothing. He can go 4 straight games with no fumbles. He could have 120 carries with no fumbles, look great, 5 yards a carry. That still doesn't make me think he's not going to do it in the divisional game when my season's on the line.
Okay, now.
Can't trust him.
You know
won't
how
do
I,
it.
You
can't
know
do
I,
it.
You know how
won't,
I feel.
Can't win with him.
Okay, I get where you're going. You know how I feel. You know, I like to, you know, do a little thing like I don't really care how it happens, but I just look at the 34 at the end of the day and the 450 whatever amount of yards they had at the end of the day, and I don't think that their inability to run the ball prevented them from doing anything.
Correct.
The other day. However, I am not a football coach like Bill Belichick is, and he might look at it a little bit differently and say, you know, the 3-point whatever yards a carry that we mustered without Ridley, 3.3 yards a carry might not be enough. And this is life without Ridley. You know, back to Fred's thing. Is he a difference maker? I don't think he is.
Let me pose a question
Bill,
to you.
Bill might think, yeah, with Ridley, we didn't really average 3.3 a carry.
If
I don't care
Ridley,
if we average 3.3 a carry, as long as we don't fumble.
If Stephen Ridley had been active in 2007 in the Super Bowl, when the Patriots could have used a running game against a defensive line that was bleeping killing them, do they win the Super Bowl?
I believe he was active that
day.
Well,
you know what I mean.
Yes. Yes.
Do I think that? No.
Yeah.
Keeps him honest.
I don't think active. I think he was.
No, 2007.
Seven.
The perfect season.
Oh, and I
think
had you been able
to run the ball the length of your woo-hoo. Because
he was inactive in the AFC Championship game, but he was active for the Super Bowl and didn't play.
I think that's the question you make. It's not, do I need a running game against the Browns? Do I need a running game? It's, do I need a running game at some point? Do I need to be able to turn to the ability to run?
See, I think you can make an argument.
Is that Ridley?
Yeah.
Even though it could come with the risk of he puts the damn ball on the ground.
Yeah.
That's the debate. It's not the Browns or the Ravens or the
My argument isn't about your first part. Like, might you need a running game at some point? My answer to that is probably yes, because at some point you need something other than what you do.
So the second
question my second point is I don't need Ridley to be the running game.
No. Okay. So you feel you have a running game with Blunt, Bolden, Vereen.
Listen, I don't feel much better with Ridley doing that running than I do with anybody else. That's my philosophical difference from Fred is I don't think Ridley is way up here and everybody else in the team is way down here. I think it's pretty close. I think Ridley's the best, but not the best worthy of putting out there. We need him. If we're gonna win, we're gonna need Stephen Ridley
to win.
Unlike
Will Fork and Chris Jones, the delta is not quite that grand.
Exactly.
Sam in New Jersey, I agree that our defense is suspect.
I guess
not
that's
to
all
be
we're
a Ridley
apparently.
Apolo-
I think this is the issue of the team right now, or one of them. Because this is one you can fix.
I'm trying to talk
defense,
about football here, Fred.
Run
I'm
defense.
Trying to read an email.
Run defense you can't fix. Injuries you cannot fix. You control the Stephen Ridley run game situation.
How do you feel? Do you think that he will play? Do you think Bill will turn back to
him? It's controversial. Fred doesn't like going on the record on controversial topics.
No, I just, I don't know the fix here. I don't know what they're telling him. And I don't know if they think that there is a physical fix to his problem.
Do you believe there's a physical fix to his problem? I do. Keep your elbow down. Don't chicken wing.
Yeah.
Keep it. You know that drill that Brady does where he puts the towel in camp?
Right.
It's the front one, I guess, to make sure it's tight.
Yeah.
And you got to hold.
See,
he needs to do something like that.
But I don't know.
All these other stupid things. He's got to wear sleeves. He's got to do this. He's got to keep the damn elbow in.
I don't know if, like, they've said, you know, besides don't fumble, here, do this, and it will help, and he's just not doing it. Or he's doing it, and he's fumbling anyway. You know, I don't know. I don't know the answer
Well, he's
to
also
that.
Had different kinds of fumbles, a variety
right.
of them. You know, Buffalo was a non-contact, just a idiotic fumble. You know, Troy Polamalu, that's an excusable fumble.
Right.
This one, you're spinning into an unblocked linebacker. What are you doing kind of fumble? Like, there's a lot of variables in these fumbles. But the bottom line to me is, if he keeps it tight, he will lower his number of fumbles. He doesn't. Now, the question is, can he keep it tight and still run the way he
right.
runs? Because I think he runs very arms and leggy. There's a lot going on. There's
yeah.
a lot of movement.
Yeah.
He has that straight up
stuff.
That upright style too. That I think
so
that lends itself to hits.
Could he do that? Could he run as well as he does with the ball?
It's a good question.
Does one take away the other in his mind or his body?
Yep.
So
Sam,
you still have an answer.
But I do think
no,
Bill goes
talking.
Back. I think Bill goes back to him. I do. I just something tells me
one last time he's a glutton for punishment.
Well, something tells me that, you know, Bill doesn't care about the perception, and he just looks out there and says, I'm going to need this guy to give me an element I don't have.
I'm just envisioning he plays, he fumbles, and they cut to Bill, and he's got that little card on. Cut Ridley.
Wow.
He's scribbling.
Well, if he does it again, then I mean, what can you gotta, right?
I'll be rooting for him in his next career stop. I really will. Cause he'll get another chance. He's talented.
Oh, sure.
Hey, Benny fumbled on
Sunday. Yeah, I saw. He starts from zero there. Even though they'll know he's a fumbler, it's not like the first one there feels the same as the next one here.
Right.
And I'll be rooting for him to somehow fix it. Cause all these people tell me Kevin Falk and Tiki Barber and Adrian Peterson also once had fumbling problems. That's all people tell me.
Adrian Peterson, by the way, still has a fumbling problem.
Yeah, you look past it with 2,000 yards.
Exactly. And I would look past it too if he ran like that.
I am still looking for the list of people who had a fumbling problem, didn't fix it. I want that list of names. You know, the ones that are now running car washes.
Sam in Jersey says, I agree that our defense is suspect, and not to be a Ridley apologist, but watching this game on Sunday, doesn't it look like they missed him? Yes, he has the fumble bug, but remember, there was a time, Adrian Peterson fumbled like crazy. He may not be the same level as Adrian Peterson.
He may
yet.
Not. He may not be.
But yet. But wait, I know you missed the Lazarus.
No, I heard it. I heard it.
But I think the Patriots draft lords were right when they drafted Ridley and Vereen in the same draft class. Blunt hasn't shown much, and Bolden, well, hasn't been seen or heard of much. Do you think he will be out of the doghouse soon? I guess I do sound like an apologist for him, but it looks like we need his numbers back and soon.
He is kind of like a dog. Like, you know how dogs can't get hold of the ball; they bat it all around.
What did you think of the
what?
What did you think of him holding the ball on the sideline the whole game?
I think he was just holding a ball.
I thought that was odd.
See, I think he was just holding a ball.
Yeah, I think that was odd. I'm not saying that the coaches made him do it.
Why? You never go to like a high school practice and you're watching on the sideline and you just gravitate towards picking up a ball and holding it?
Not for a whole
game. I think
game,
they made him do it.
Yeah, I
don't think they made him do it, but I not for a whole
game.
I
have a bigger problem with the hat than the ball.
Well, the hat was ridiculous.
Asinine.
But I just thought it was strange. A running back who is inactive simply because he fumbles the ball is on the sideline like a bad, cheesy sports movie. I'm going to just hold the ball.
Do you think that... some people thought it was very strange.
Some people
that
who
you know he was inactive but traveled.
No,
and I don't think it's strange at all.
No, I think that
as I said, what if you get food poisoning in the running back meeting room and every other running back is in the hospital dead?
If you're healthy, you travel.
I think there was a chance.
There, right? Bo Harness was there.
And
right?
I also think there was a chance. Now Bill may have known in his mind that he wasn't going to play. They may have known Friday that he was going to be inactive.
Oh, I think he did.
But he was available.
But
yes.
There were guys that were game time decisions.
Right.
I can't tell you who they were because I don't know. But
Eric
there's
said
a
no.
chance that
Eric
they
said
were.
On the pregame social
I
they
know.
Weren't.
And that's when I stopped listening to the rest of the interview.
You really need to listen to these interviews. Paul and Eric feud, but they don't. Eric doesn't really know he's in a feud with Paul, who in the middle of the interview just throws his head.
But Fred just
down
said it exactly right. Like, how do you know who. There was a chance that there were going to be seven inactive players who physically could not have played.
PUP?
And Ridley was not one of them. Right?
Right. Unless ball security.
Now, it turns out they had three healthy guys that were scratched. But I wouldn't have been shocked to see somebody that played in the game not be. You know, Kenbrell Tompkins was dealing with some stuff going into that game. He couldn't finish it. Kyle Arrington.
Right.
Steve Gregory.
Right.
You know, would you have been stunned if any of those individuals was inactive in that game?
No.
I mean, I'm being serious.
I was too.
Screwed up, Fred.
Oh, well, no.
It's okay. Diet Coke's fine.
They made a pointed decision to not enable him to die. They gave him a diet.
We'll do one more
Wait,
email
did you see,
before
Kevin
we take
Falk?
A break. What?
Did you see Kevin Falk?
I did not see Kevin Falk, but I heard from Escal that he was there.
What do you think of that?
I mean,
because some people
Falk lives in Louisiana,
right.
So that's
it's
a
short trek.
That's a what?
It's a short trek.
No, it isn't.
Oh, I think it's a short trek.
Do you know how big the state of Texas is?
Yes, I know, but relatively speaking, I went on the pregame show on the Hub, and Andy Gray. No, I don't think it's a coincidence. Kevin Falk's there, and you know they went through the trouble of flying him down, and you know he's not there on his own.
Wait a minute, I don't know if the Patriots had anything. To
I don't
do
think
with
it's a long
it.
Trip.
They went to
but
LSU.
I agree with Fred on that.
They're boys. This like he's going the end as I said the end of his career is near. If he's going down this road, it's petering out before his eyes. This is a guy from his school who he's friendly with. Wouldn't you? I mean, you might not because you're not a nice guy, but I would if I had this person go and try to help him. And I've been through it.
It's funny though the size of Houston. Houston has like four skylines. There's like four different areas. It's unbelievable. You go a half an hour and there's another skyline.
Why it's a terrible place for a Super Bowl.
And you're still in Houston. So it's like you go on a day trip in Houston and it's like, where are you going? I'm going to Houston. It's that big a city. It's sprawled out like over a month. Anyway, all right, let's take a break.
You have emails, Reed.
And we'll be right back.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go.
Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
We are boring to tears, young Benjamin.
He was just asleep on his mom's shoulder.
He's probably hungry.
Ben, are you hung?
Are you hungry?
Hungry. Oh, God.
Don't. Yeah, he's not. Yeah.
You should know hungry? I got a little wiener.
Thanks, the Heffernans for...
Heffernans.
Heffernans. I was going to say Heffernreffer, but that's a... All right, we'll see you on... See you next Tuesday.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Andy has a headache. He's like going back and forth like Stevie Wonder with his eyes closed.
It hurts, and you know how big this head is.
Paul's eating. Kevin's in the booth. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline.
Fred's
no tin can complaints today, Freddie.
What's that?
No tin can complaints yet.
No, you fixed it for EEI yesterday.
No, I don't think I did.
I
Freddie, did something I have to Fred's mic right before he went on the air, and I was like, maybe that'll do it.
I think I'm done making fun of Kevin for being inept and not knowing how to fix things, because yesterday there was a little snafu, and they do EEI from here, but they obviously have to run it through Brighton, through the studio there. And in the middle of nowhere, a commercial break just started playing, and I look in, and Ben, who's the producer of the Salk and Holly show, and Kevin were both in there, both looked up through the glass with a blank, I have no idea what just happened or what to do about it kind of stare. So I think they're all the same. They don't immediately react. They're not like doctors who immediately roll into action and save someone's life. They just have a blank stare like, I don't know how to fix it. I'm sorry.
Think about poor Salk in the middle of a thought trying to go to a caller and all of a sudden a commercial starts.
He does. He goes, and we're going to go to Kevin in the, and then boo, then a commercial break just starts. And these two behind the glass just look, you know, lost as usual.
I'm sure he still set it up in ESPN-like fashion, though.
Ooh, little shot at Salk.
Speaking of yesterday, TG and NJ writes in, good job yesterday, Andy, on the fill-in with the radio gig. Thank you for giving us a Belichick interview that was not irritating to listen to. You actually got him to talk a bit.
Yep, I did it.
Was that the first time you had a one-on-one interview with him?
Oh, no. Salk was there, too. as much as I'm describing it as just my interview.
But you know what I mean.
No, I mean, I've done a million. Not a million of them, but I've done
a bunch. You
have? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, first of all, when I did the whole coaching tree thing, I did like four or five different one-on-ones with him to do that whole.
Right.
And then various times in the old media workroom, I used to grab him to talk about different things.
Okay.
And haven't done one recently in the news. No, nobody does that
I
as
haven't
much
seen
anymore.
People do that as much.
That's kind of weird how that happened.
That used to be a big thing.
When you were doing the interview yesterday, and I thought it was good too. Was there any like off-camera stuff that people didn't know about that you can talk about, like any banter?
I discussed the Wilson-Hart Power Index a little bit with him.
Yeah.
And the fact that last night's game was a 1-2 matchup, and I told him how I get a lot of heat from various idiots, some named Paul and Fred, for the Wilson-Hart Power Index, and he said, stick to your guns, Andy. You just got to stick to your guns.
I'm just curious to see, you know, how far up New Orleans went.
Right.
That's so funny.
They should have shot right up.
You shot your mother.
While
we're on the topic, though, this point in the season, the Seattle Seahawks have the best index number, because the index is actually a number. It's a formula that spits out a number, and their number is 1.667. One is perfect. If you got a, this is, you know, if one would be absolutely perfect, you can't be any better than that in the index. Theirs is 1.667. Also, the biggest divide that we've had at this point in the season from 1 to 2. The Carolina Panthers are 2, 6.83. Panthers are actually closer to 11th place than they are to first place in the power.
So the Seahawks are 0.667 away from being perfect.
From basically being statistically perfect.
Wow.
It's pretty fascinating how good statistically they are on paper. Now, I'm not saying that they're the best team I've ever seen. I don't think they are. But statistically, and remember, this is also relative to the league's competition in the current season. So that plays a factor here, how much better they are than the competition.
Right.
I also think it's interesting. I think it was like 17 of the 32 teams didn't move at all after a week's of it. You know, we're really settling into you are who you are at this point in December, and you've kind of found your, you know, balance.
I would imagine
water.
The Patriots are moving a little bit.
Patriots are number 5. One for the Seahawks, 2 for the Panthers, who moved up from number 4. Chiefs, Saints tied at 3, and then Patriots 5, where they are tied with the 49ers. But 7.33, they're a half a point from second. The big drop off is from 1 to 2, from Seattle to everybody else.
And it's hard to argue that Seattle hasn't been the hands down best team in football through 12 weeks. They've beaten all the good teams as well. It's not like they're beaten up on cupcakes. You know, they beat the Saints last night. They beat San Francisco earlier in the season. They beat Carolina, even though that was way back in week one. So they've beaten the other good teams, more so than anybody else.
At San Francisco left on the schedule, obviously, this week, which I was just wanting to see if they had, like, 3 road games in the Final Four. They have 2-2. At the Giants is another one, Arizona and St. Louis. You know, some tough division games.
Yep.
But Seattle's the best team in football. I just don't know how you can question it in any way at this point.
TG also says, interesting that back at training camp, we were worried about the offense not getting it done, and now it's the defense that is the concern. As it stands now, the D will be our undoing in the playoffs unless we can fix it somehow, of course. So, Panthers at Seahawks for the NFC game, is it a done deal, or does San Francisco have anything to say about it?
I would say the Saints would have something to say about it as well, for the Panthers part of it. I think the Seahawks is a done deal.
I would assume.
I think the Seahawks is going to the... Seahawks going to the NFC Championship is a done deal.
But I also would be stunned in this season if the playoffs, once they're finalized, play out like chalk. Like, you know, as expected, the higher seed wins throughout. I'll be stunned if there's not some interesting playoffs results.
I'll give you an interesting, you know, and we're a month out, and I don't want to give anybody a popsicle headache, but...
I already got one.
Just think about if Denver has four games that they're going to be favored in pretty substantially. So the chances of them holding on to the number one seed are probably pretty good. So they finish one, and the Chiefs finish five. So that means the Chiefs will probably play Indy or Cincinnati, the 3-4 team, right? Probably Indy, because I think Indy is sliding right now, whereas Cincinnati seems to be maintaining their play. I could see the Chiefs beating Indianapolis.
Yep.
And then they go to Denver. And then you know what happens. It's hard to beat a team three times in the same season.
Isn't
you know,
it when, if you're better when, than them?
When good teams play each other, it's hard to have one team win all three. And then you got the whole Manning choke factor at 8-1 and outs, one and duns. And then the Patriots host the AFC Championship. Telling you, it's going to happen.
Henry in North Carolina, I agree with one of the previous callers about the defense's lack of aggressiveness. Also, no other team has a Vince Wilfork but don't have the problems stopping the run that the Patriots do, as evidenced by their 31st ranking. What are other defenses doing that the Patriots aren't? I think
that, get back to your Delta.
But I also think that the run defense problems is also connected to the injuries in the defensive backfield. So the Belichick is choosing. He's making choices. And most of the time, that's going to mean I'll weaken up on the run personnel to help with the backfield. I do think that if the defensive secondary was healthy, you wouldn't see the run defense as bad as it has been.
I disagree with that.
It may not be as good as it has been in the past, but it wouldn't be as bad as
the only game that I think you can make that argument for is Denver. They clearly said, I don't care how many yards you run for today, we're going to stick to our guns and play this system. The other one, you're missing personnel up front, and you can't stop the run with what you have. Andy, you didn't want to get into your Delta between Will Fork.
No, I was more annoyed that he continues to say defensive secondary. I hate it. Yeah. You say it, Glenn Ordway says it. As long as you point out to me the offensive secondary, then I have no problem with it. But until you show me that, I see no reason to say defensive secondary.
You're right.
As soon as Vince left the lineup, the run defense suffered, and the secondary was healthy then. So that's why, you know, it's... you're right that these other teams don't have guys like Wilfork inside, but they have who they have.
Right.
You know, for the most part.
And plan to have, and they're good.
The Patriots didn't necessarily look at Chris Jones and Joe Valano as the guys that were going to do this for them.
Yeah.
And that's
and
that's
also
been reality.
Mayo's been your leading tackler for, you know, a million years, and now he's gone, you know?
Yeah, but like I said, everybody's dealing with stuff, but they have guys to fill in. You know, Brian Cushing's out in Houston, but yet their run defense has suffered, but they didn't allow what happened to the, you know, Patriots.
Because Wade Phillips didn't draw it up like that. He didn't say, let's allow 280.
Well, he's certainly not worried about stopping the run against New England when you play Tom Brady, right? You're trying to defend against
Ridley.
The pass.
Olivier's in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
Thanksgiving.
Me too. También. Sí, gracias.
I'm super happy to develop the sense of this Hispanic community with you, Andy.
It's a big community in this country.
Yes, very big. Are you running for office?
I might someday. I think I might someday. I don't know what my platform would be. But...
Imagine his opponent's smear campaign for that one.
I just think I'd be a great candidate. I call
it's
it like you see
his mind.
It.
Vote for him.
No, call it like you see it, candidate Andy Hart. That would be my tagline. Call it like you see it. No allegiances, because, no business interests, no party affiliation. Call it like you see it, candidate.
I'm calling because I wanted to apply to be your campaign manager.
You're hired.
Thank you. You heard it first on PFW in Progress, people.
Salary is zero. Responsibilities are a million.
Yes.
Start that fundraising.
Opportunity.
Can you file the
guys,
pack?
I was calling because, A, it's a great win, but how do we do to stop the run? I mean, do we have an opportunity to pick up someone else, or is it gonna is the solution from within, and we're going to have to do whatever we can to address this thing without the help of other people?
The latter.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
It is what
there
it
is no solution. You have an undersized, you know, rookie seventh-round pick or fifth-round pick, whatever the hell he is. You have an undrafted rookie. You have two Samoans who are letting their past Samoan defensive lineman brethren down. It's just, it is, you have a middle linebacker who's supposed to be your safety net who's got a bad knee. I just don't see the solution on the horizon.
But, you know, if I'm hearing Paul right, you don't need to stop the run in this league. It's not important. You just need to stop the pass.
I want to slow it a little occasionally.
I actually agree with you.
I mean, obviously, I don't know if you agree with him. He's agreeing with you, agreeing with him.
No, what I'm saying is, obviously, you can't get shredded on a consistent basis, but you're going to score points generally by passing the football. Houston did it by running the football the other day. It happens. Yeah. Okay, once in a while it happens. I don't think you're going to lose in the playoffs because of that.
Let's
I really don't.
More and Ray Rice come to town.
I'd be stunned if Ray Rice has that kind of a game like he did in 09. I'd be stunned. I just don't see it happening.
Now, when Paul, you were right. This is kind of a the game we had against the Texans was almost a trap game for us, and I'm glad we get out of it. Do you think that the secondary and the defense had a letdown that's not going to happen again, or do you think we're starting to see the ugly head of what we saw last year, which is basically the offense going to have to push it and win games because our defense is basically getting back to its old blues?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I think the offense is the one that really got caught in a trap. I think that they didn't come out with the same crispness and intensity that they finished up that Denver game with.
Yep.
And they got off to a slow start, and that allowed Houston to feel good about itself.
Gain confidence.
Yeah, they put some points on the board and came up with stops, and suddenly you were behind. But obviously, the second half was a different story. Defensively, I think they were bad from the first possession right down through the last possession. They came up with just enough plays to win the game because the offense got its act together, and I think that's what's going to have to happen. Fred unfolded that scenario. Can you make a stop or two so the other team doesn't hold serve?
Right.
I think was the way you put it.
Right.
Yep.
And I think that's what you're going to have to rely on.
All right. Thanks, Olivier.
Hey, thanks, guys. Take care. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Let's take another call. Bo's in Houston. Hey, Bo.
Hey, guys. I want to mention a point you guys talk about how Houston is split out. The reason why we have so many different skylines is because our zoning laws aren't as strict. Like, they put skyscrapers all over the place. And plus, most cities, especially Northeastern, they tend to grow upwards as Houston spreads out when it grows. So that was just a little interesting thing.
Right. Oh, but yeah. It is interesting, you know, you see a skyline, and you're like, is that Houston? And then you drive another 40 minutes, and then there's another skyline, and go, oh, is that Houston? You know?
So are there like boroughs or?
Yeah, which is like the main skyline? Like, which is the one where that's
proper.
Houston proper, right?
Enron?
That'd be the one you guys are used to seeing, like the skyline in downtown, with the, you know, that weird shaped building. If you ever see some of the posters, but there's a few different skylines.
But is that the one near, where Enron is, the two towers?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
I just want to say one quick thing to all the Patriots fans. We need to calm down. We need to have faith in the team. Everybody at this point in the season is hurt. Our last four games are winnable. You look at Cincinnati's schedule, they're most likely going to lose at Pittsburgh, so they give us a little cushion. And we just have to hope.
I don't think people are worried about these last four games. I think they're worried about when they get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but specify who and what are you worried about?
I think they're worried about Baltimore. I think they're worried about
winning three games in the playoffs. They're worried about
if they have to play Baltimore. I think they're worried about playing Denver.
Well, you have to play Baltimore before you would play Baltimore in the playoffs.
The playoffs, it's different.
No,
but I mean, are you just worried about the field? Said field,
or I think we can beat any team. I think we can be beaten, or we can beat any team.
Agree.
Everybody has injuries.
I agree with Paul.
But somebody is going to win.
Yeah.
Why not us? Why not now?
That's what I say.
We can win. But the team I'm most worried about is not even in the AFC. I've said this for weeks that I'm more worried about Seattle. They seem to be a more complete team.
Yeah, absolutely. But if you play them, you're in the Super Bowl. Right.
Yeah, which is true. But I'd rather not get the Super Bowl than get the Super Bowl and lose. I hate that. That kills me.
I finally found someone who agrees with me.
And you don't even have to work it like Paul. You won't bitch all week like Paul will in New York.
You know, when we lost
the disgruntled writers.
When we lost the perfect season, I couldn't watch TV for like 3 months. I didn't even turn on ESPN until maybe a little bit after my birthday in April.
I think you have a problem. I don't want to judge you from afar.
Oh, that's funny. I'm sorry.
But I think you have a problem. That amazes me.
Yeah, you should be like Eric and not care.
I'm a real sore loser. I hate losing. And it just...
Yeah,
I'm a real boy.
No, I hear you, Bo.
I
hate losing too. It's the worst feeling.
Especially since
the last two Super Bowls the Patriots were in, they had a chance to win at the end. You were right there. You could feel it. You could taste it.
Now, the last one we lost, you have to give it to Eli. He just made an incredible throw. It was a once-in-a-lifetime throw. That first Super Bowl against Eli and the Giants, I guess football guys punished us for Sunday Samuel dropping an interception.
But, you know, Moss goes down and you're up 14-10 and you're like, okay, we're going to win this. You know, and then on the kickoff, Bubba Ventrone makes a great special teams tackle, pins him down at like the 10 or whatever.
Yeah.
Textbook.
And
you're like, okay, this is good.
Shutdown defense came through.
Right. Then Samuel let one go through his hands and you lost.
Well, you have to remember, the way I see it, football guys give you one chance.
Who's not on the
team?
They
gave it to us right there.
Samuel.
Didn't capitalize. And then the very next play, I think, was the helmet catch. And as soon as they caught that, I just knew it was over.
Yeah.
Everything's going their way.
Yep.
But I appreciate it, guys. You guys have a good day.
All right. Thanks,
Bo.
I still think
for bringing up 07. That was great.
I still think that
I think it's funny
SB's thing that they did with Justin Timberlake when he's like behind. It's like they're putting him in the video from the Super Bowl and he's behind the bench chewing his gum. And he's like, oh, where am I going to put my gum? And he puts it on Tyree's helmet. This is a good spot for it.
Right.
I think that's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Hey, what did you think about those two CSC security guys that got fired for
taking
a picture with Brady?
You shouldn't do it, and I have no fault, really, complaint with them being fired. It just sucks.
Yeah.
I didn't even hear about it. Is that basically the crux of it?
Yeah.
They got picked. I mean, it's a CSC rule, you know, the old security company that we used to have here, that you don't ask for autographs, you don't take pictures with people. They did it with Brady, and they got canned.
They claim that they had just been off duty and that it happens all the time.
I'm sure it does.
So
believe me, I've been down that road around here before.
Did they post it, and that's how they got caught? Like,
No. They saw them doing it on the security camera and immediately fired them.
Oh, yeah, that stinks.
It does, but
I mean, if it's a rule, it's a rule. I suppose you got to have rules, but
got to have rules, otherwise it's anarchy.
Right. I mean, I get that. I'm not trying to be one of these. You know, everybody should be given. You know,
after the game, I told you guys I was in the Patriots official booth. I wasn't with the press.
Was it just you and Eric?
Just me. Well, Kevin Collins was in there too. But so I actually got to cheer for the first time in a game.
Yeah, like it's the first time.
But no, but you know what I mean.
He gets up in that aggressive stance in the booth going, like, here we go, here we go,
I've never done anything untoward.
When did you do that?
What do you mean?
Get up in that
last possession when that last defense.
You were up on 2 feet?
I didn't really
see. I would have been disgusted at that point, not even caring what
happened. But I've been doing this for 19 years. I've been trying to be quiet. It took me a while before I was able to say, okay, I can do this. I can.
Now, were there people to your left and your right in the glass wall?
Spanish radio to the left.
Yeah.
Didn't know what was going on.
Dios mío. El hombre gordo.
The best part about the
es
whole
loco.
Thing is Stacey James walks Fred into the booth, like his private luxury chalet, and in his deadpan humor goes, well, Fred, you can make yourself at home, you know, maybe take your pants off. It was really awkward.
Like you normally would.
Right, right.
It's like
you're going to start requesting that, though? Now you need a booth on the road?
Yeah, that'd be nice. Actually, I don't mind being – I'd like rather being out there and hearing what people are saying and stuff.
I don't think I would have liked that, to be isolated that much.
Yeah.
I have no problem being isolated.
Oh. You're an idiot.
No, it wouldn't matter to me.
So Nick didn't come by?
That would bother me if I was with every – because I'm bound to say something.
Well, because you're rooting for the other team.
Well, right. But you're bound to say something stupid. Like, what happens when Ridley fumbles?
What?
What happens when Ridley fumbles when we're watching the game? You know, someone says, you know, gee, you know,
Ridley. Bertrand.
You know.
Ridley, you
bleep. You know, and that's all I would need.
They say that too.
But they're, Fred, they're them.
Right.
We're us.
I know, but.
You know, if like John Robinson wants to say something about a member of the Patriots, that's well within his right. I'm a media guy saying it. Wouldn't go over well. I would not feel comfortable. I feel like I would say something stupid that would get me in trouble.
Now we'll say about it. Like when guy limp off and I call him a
meow. Yeah, and all that.
Yeah.
I thought of you
but wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
I thought of you with the roughing the passer. I go to Fred, another Notre Dame Saturday
Well,
here.
Brady actually called for it.
I mean, Brady went,
like pointed his finger trying to get the ref, and he did it.
That was pathetic.
That was a cheap call.
It was a great call.
That was pathetic.
It was a great call.
Cheap call.
It was a late hit, if nothing else.
You know that the hit happened because he got knocked into him as he was running by, right?
It was a late hit.
Yeah, Brady was hit into him.
No, he was going down. The guy flew right into him.
Now, because he was running by.
Now, I think he pulled a little bit of a Merriweather and kind of.
I think he braced himself.
I think he braced himself.
And I think that's what I think Andy's right. I think that's what the referee saw. But I think he was. I think Brooks Reed was bracing himself when he saw Brady.
It was a perfect
about
call.
To get hit into him.
It was a perfect call.
The Eagles. Did you see any of the highlights of the Eagles Cardinals game?
No.
Bruce Arians sent 15 plays to be reviewed in that game. What a porking they took in that game.
Really?
Unbelievable. Blatant pass interference call they missed on the Cardinals' last drive on fourth down. Prior to that, they overturned an interception on one of the most ticky-tack holding calls you'll ever see that would have set up a go-ahead score for the Cardinals. I mean, just ridiculous. 15 calls Bruce Arians wants.
You know, it's almost like if I was the president of a team and I had, I would almost put those on my website. And here's how we got screwed this game.
Yeah, I don't think that's appropriate.
Yeah, you would almost do that.
But you got to force the league to do something.
Fine you.
Well, that's why Arians is going through the proper protocol.
You do it the proper channels. You don't make an ass and a mockery of the league and yourself and everything involved. But
that, speaking of which, what did you think of the down?
Got enough trouble winning without that.
What did you think of the down situation at the end of the Redskins-Giants game?
I didn't see it. I just heard about it. It sounds like the ref was trying to keep the flow of the game going but he should have stopped. He should have stopped the game for one of his own people making a mistake.
Yeah, I don't think the ref realized that the guy had moved the chains because everybody else had spotted the ball and said it was third down. It was just the guy, I think it's the head linesman, that was in front of Shanahan that was moving the chains. He shouldn't have.
Yeah.
The only one who's allowed to move the chains is the referee.
Right.
The referee signals first. He's the only one allowed to signal first down. So the head linesman acted.
When it happened, was like Shanahan screaming?
Well, he had said, we want a measurement, and the head linesman told him that you don't need a measurement. You have the first down.
Oh.
And that's where the confusion ran in. Now, it had absolutely zero to do with the game. And I think it's an unbelievable cop-out on Shanahan and RG3's part that it impacted them in any way.
The two of them.
Both
Shanahan and RG3. I don't know which one's going to stay there longer, but
oh, I do.
Oh, RG3.
Yeah, but I really
Shanahan's got four games left.
You know, RG3 is really showing that he just doesn't have the maturity.
I agree.
Shanahan, I think he's lost it. I mean, I didn't like him at the end of the Broncos thing, even though they won Super Bowls, but I think he's got a loose wire somewhere.
I think he's highly overrated. Highly.
Yeah.
And makes bad I mean, having your son as your coordinator, I'm not a big fan of. I think there's a lot wrong in that situation, but I've always thought he was highly overrated. I think he's one of the more overrated ring guys in
history. They never explained the situation that happened, I think, last year where his briefcase got stolen with like $15,000 and a passport in it. That one just kind of went away.
That was one of your classic around the NFL, yeah. Was it not?
No one ever explained that. What are you doing walking around with that type of cash and a passport? You know, you're not playing in London.
Some guys need to get out of town quick.
You always got to be ready. You never know.
I don't know. And then it got stolen to boot. You know?
Das Boot.
Maybe it was a payoff or something.
Something happened. Doug in Southern Oregon
says... He was buying tanning oil. 15 grand I need. Mexican.
I have to agree with Andy about Ridley keeping his elbow down. When you watch him run, his body is flying all over the place. That is the dynamic that makes it possible for him to break one and also gets him a couple extra yards when he's hit. I think it could keep his upper body in more control, especially when he's cutting. It would cut down on his fumbling problems, keeping his elbow in. The question is this the way he has always run, and can he change his style of running? I think that is the question that Bill is trying to decide.
Well, I was thinking if we could design some sort of a thing that he puts a sleeve on both elbows that is attached to a stretchy band in front and behind him, and then ask him to carry the ball, but it wouldn't let the arm go up because it would have that resistance band pulling it in. Maybe I'll bring that up to Bill next time I see him. You know, we got a good relationship now.
Sure. Let me know how that goes.
Oh, by the way, fans are thankful that you filled in for Mark in the post-game show.
Oh, it was fun.
Mark's wife didn't actually have the baby.
Still?
Oh, still?
She, I guess
he wasn't
she,
there
she,
yesterday.
went to the hospital with high blood pressure.
Yeah, and then they ended up going home, sleeping at, and then they went back and induced.
Oh, maybe they did then. Maybe
he wasn't in yesterday.
Okay.
Well, they were definitely at the hospital. I don't know what they were inducing.
Did you contact him?
Back and forth with him.
Oh, because I was going to send it, but I
Monday morning they were inducing.
I figured he was too busy, so I didn't, you know.
But inducing is not, you know, what I always thought it was, which was basically, all right, let's go. You know, open the oven and the bun comes out. Inducing can take a long time after they induce.
Well, there's a lot of coaxing involved and, you know.
9 and 3.
Come on, baby. Come on.
Here you go. Come on, boy.
They hold a carrot or something, Fred?
What is
just
he
trying to bait
about?
It out of there?
Can you see Fred in the delivery?
Trying to coax the baby out. Crawls back inside. I don't want to go near that thing.
Sean says,
if you were born the way you are now with those fat shoulders, oh, the agony.
Oh, with that head of yours? Are you kidding me?
Your shoulders are a lot fatter than my head.
I don't know about that.
Oh, I do.
Yeah. what's the deal with Dobson? Is he still hurt, and how severe is his injury, says Sean. I really like how he was starting to actually...
He didn't play on Sunday. It's Tuesday. I don't know if he's still hurt.
I really liked how he was starting to actually catch the balls thrown to his numbers. Are they going to use Dobson or Tompkins as opposed to both from this point on?
I think there's health issues with both of those guys. Obviously,
you got a groin, you got a foot.
Neither one of them finished the last game. Dobson didn't start it. So the whole back and forth thing I thought was interesting. We talked about it a little bit last week, but I do think it's health related as much as anything else. I think they haven't had these two guys healthy for a while now. I think Tompkins has been dealing with stuff. I think he was another game time decision, potential game time decision.
No, there were none.
And you know, whether or not I do think it will end up being one of them, because I think that they probably feel better about the other options in the passing game right now with Gronk and Edelman at the top of the list, but mixing in Vereen too.
Yeah, I think it'll be both. I think if they're both healthy, you will see an alternation at various game plans.
Oh, I just don't mean at the same time.
Oh, no,
That's
no, no,
all.
No.
That's all
no,
I'm
no,
saying.
No, no, no. But I think from week to week or even half to half, you could see.
Oh, yeah, like you saw that against whoever. Was it Denver that Dobson played most of the first half?
Tompkins was
and
the
Tompkins
second
played
half.
The second half.
Yeah.
Jim at Pittsburgh, has Coach Bill become more of an offensive coach than defense? He was always considered a defensive genius, but I can't help but notice how the offense has been innovative over the past few years with the hurry up, the spread, two athletic, one criminal tight ends. They seem to be ahead of the curve in changing the offense over time. What have they done on defense that is innovative or ahead of the curve? On that side of the ball, we seem to be lagging behind the rest of the league. Then again, I have an old suit in my closet that will probably be stylish again in a couple years. I just hope Adam is still playing well when this defense comes back into style. A-T-O-M. Who do you think that
Tom.
Is? Tom. Oh, Tom. When was the last time giving up 200 yards rushing was stylish anyway? So he's being very sarcastic.
I do think that the caller that brought up the
Adam, what do you think A-T-O-M means?
I don't know. It was all
It was clearly a reference to the quarterback. I hope Tom is still playing well when the defense comes back.
Yeah, maybe he was
Who
talking
is
about
Adam? Adam Vinatieri. I don't know.
I didn't know.
You didn't know that A-T-O-M was Tom Brady in the context of that sentence?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you two are both
It makes sense that when you
then
said
you two
it.
Clearly cannot read those emails where they leave out every other letter.
Oh, no, you can read out.
You
can
guys can't. Tom, who's Tom? I don't know Tom.
I mean,
here.
Especially if it was a small letter. If it was like a capital A or something like that, then I would, or a capital T, I might have been able to figure it out. But no, not in that context. Anyway, I do think that the emailer, the caller, it was a Dave in Connecticut that talked about the attacking style.
Right.
That Andy,
two gap.
You know, said the same thing about. I do think that they need to get a little bit more aggressive, and that's why I really like the Chandler Jones pick. Now that I think they need more players like that.
Wait, so this is another example. Bill is now an offensive coach because the offense has morphed. So that has nothing to do with Josh McDaniels or Billy O'Brien or anything, right? So he gets all the credit for the good. See that? I don't care for it.
I don't agree with the whole offense. You know,
plus he never coaches the offense.
He spends all his time
during the games.
Defense.
It's all defense. Still, did he get a haircut?
Did I?
He did.
Bill,
think.
Yeah. Robert
wasn't
says
even a conversation we just had.
Robert Bill? Says not to quibble about Shanahan, but it was $3,700 in the briefcase. Okay, Andy, what's everything fine in Spanish? I could see the broadcasters pointing at Fred and saying this.
Todo es bueno. I mean, everything's good.
It's all good.
Es bueno. It's good.
Que bueno. How good?
Let's see.
Frederiquez Gordo.
If they are going to punish Tomlin, they should do it by kicking him off the competition committee. You would assume that someone on that committee knows the rules and wouldn't have wandered out onto the field during the play. Just nice to see a different NFL coach in trouble other than Belichick. And
he's
it's the Steelers,
killed,
no less.
By the way, this has been almost a whole week. Although the NFL, I don't understand what's the delay. Just whatever you find, you know, you've had enough time to review it. Come down with your your ruling.
Yeah.
I mean, we know he's going to get
suspended.
No.
I kind of do.
No. One time.
I think it's a pretty egregious.
$100,000 fine offense. To me is enough.
I think it's way worse than the Jets thing because he entered the field of play. Well, they entered his area.
I think it's 1,000 times worse than the Jets thing.
So,
did the Jets guy get suspended?
I believe
I thought he got
I'm pretty sure he got suspended.
Oh, then yes. If the precedent is that you suspend for that, then this was worse than the Jets.
The other issue is he's held to a higher standard as a head coach. He's a leader of men. Everything kind of falls in line under him. So if it's okay for him, now all of a sudden his assistants are doing it, blah, blah.
What about a draft pick, taking away a draft pick?
I think
pick?
That's a little much. I'd suspend him a game, fine him, you know, whatever it is, $100,000, and that's it. We're done. I don't think a draft pick. I don't like draft picks are too – that's really, really important to me. And this doesn't go into that area.
Marshall writes in, Bill is famous for taking a team's best player out of the game, such as Jimmy Graham. With the raw speed that Josh Gordon has and Tlaib's hip problem, can the Patriots reduce the effectiveness of Gordon?
Yes. It'll involve multiple people.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing it's going to involve is, the potential for Alex Tanny to be throwing him the ball. I mean,
it's
now
it's going to be Kalib Haney or whatever.
Right now, they don't have either of their quarterbacks. Now, I think there's a chance.
That video.
I think Jason Campbell might be activated.
I got to think one of them's going to get cleared, right?
Well, I would doubt that Whedon would if he just suffered it.
Well, Walker did.
Yeah, we all know what would happen. No, never mind. I'd be surprised if Whedon played. But Campbell supposedly has been cleared for football activities, but hasn't been cleared to practice yet. So I think the chances are him being activated, and then I think Josh Gordon will have some catches if he has an NFL quarterback throwing the ball, because clearly what was the number one thing on Sunday? Andre Johnson?
Right.
Or Ben Tate? You know, they those guys had success.
I was surprised.
Right now, your injury thing is impacting the
play. I was surprised that Johnson had this, because he seems to be like their only guy other than that Graham 88. But I think they just felt with Johnson, let's just keep him in front of him. He's not going to beat you long. He doesn't have the speed anymore. Just keep him in front of him, in front of
you. Yeah, but you make it sound like it worked. It didn't. He had big catches in the game. He had like a 28-yard catch. And
he also had a big drop.
Yeah, he did have a big drop. Yeah.
Johnson-like.
He had like 121 yards. He averaged over 15 yards a catch.
I know.
So they didn't do a good job of keeping him in front of him.
But he didn't score any touchdowns.
I know, because they rushed for 4 touchdowns, Fred.
Yeah. John, in
Patriots
L.A.
Patriots clinch this week, huh?
Who did?
Yeah, they could have a 4-game lead with 3 left.
Yeah. Win in a Miami loss or tie, or a tie in a Miami loss. Patriots clinch.
John in L.A., interviewing Belichick, Andy holds his own, so to speak, and doesn't say wiener or boobies once.
yeah, I guess I didn't.
He might have laughed if he
said
that.
The fact that you had to think about that is really kind of frightening.
Well, you know what was funny is I said something. I said, God damn, blah, blah, blah. And they all gave me a look. And I go, can we not say that? And they go, well, it's kind of a gray area. We're not sure. And I said, is it the God or the damn? I can't say.
When you said
this is all on the air.
When you said to Bill before one of the questions, this is kind of a weird question. Not that any of my questions before this were. Did he, smile at all?
Oh, yeah. He smiled a bunch of different times throughout.
Okay. What was your weird question?
That was
it's actually a question I gave.
It was Fred's.
A weird question.
Well, Fred wanted to know, they had no penalties in the game. And in basketball, if you have no fouls, they say it's because you're not, playing hard enough. You're not playing good defense. And I asked Bill, is there anything to that? Maybe you're not, if you have no penalties, maybe you're not testing the limits on holding illegal contact. And
he
said no.
I think they did a good job of testing the limits.
Believe they never coach him to foul. That was one of his things. He took that as a
Logan Ryan didn't get the memo.
But no, I like when I asked the Devlin question, when I said like play of the year and as a former high school fullback, I really each smile. He got a big smirk.
Yeah, to get that in there.
I'm surprised Bill didn't say, yeah, I thought you were a fullback with those little arms, those Tyrannosaurus Rex arms.
Everything is fine would be translated as todo está bien.
Todo está bien. Está. See, not S, because it can be not fine. You know the difference between ser and está? That's why I said Fred S. Gordo. You can't change. You're always going to be fat.
Christian said he forgot to ask when he was on the radio, on the phone, what do we think about Josh Boyce returning kicks?
Liked it.
Longest of the year, so it's a spark.
Yeah.
I like it.
He certainly gets going faster. But then again, that was one of the first games other than Denver where there were a lot of kicks in, you know, out of the end zone.
That Bullocks guy blows.
I know.
But he, I don't know what
he was like catching the ball on the 2 yard line.
I was surprised. I thought that every kick in that game would be, you know, indoors. I thought they would all be blow away touchbacks, and they weren't.
He, I think he went 3 of 6 in the end zone, no touchbacks. Yeah. Whereas
Gostkowski's got to the end zone, but some of them were returnable.
But he was like 5 of 7.
I know, but they were returnable. Yeah. Is what I'm saying. Usually, like Gostkowski's touchbacks indoors are generally out of the back of the end zone.
The roof was open, so it was kind of outdoors.
And the roof was open.
The music was high, and this girl's hand was steadily moving up my thigh. She had opened up three buttons on her shirt so far. I guess that's why I didn't notice that police car.
Woo, 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 woo. We were doing 90 in my mom's new Porsche.
Let's see. Adam in Dublin, Ireland, writing in.
Short. When the cop pulled me over, I was scared as hell. I said, I don't have a license, but I drive very well, officer.
Oh, my God. Adam in Dublin, Ireland. The win at the weekend was a little tighter than I'd like, but we gradually seeing this team return to its true form, which is a weak D and explosive offense.
I thought that was going in an entirely different direction.
And after the past few years, two Super Bowls included, I'm not exactly optimistic about our championship chances, but hopefully we'll get some luck that has deserted us since 07. Anyway, just wanted to say that I really felt for Andy.
That's where I thought the email was going.
Anyway, just wanted to say that I really fell for Andy getting shot down a few times by Bill in yesterday's interview. Andy came up with some good questions, and Bill just did his usual on most of them. However, I found it funny that the one question Andy prefaced with, this is probably a strange question about the penalties, got a great response out of Bill, and it's always interesting to see what things actually provoke an enthusiastic response.
Yep.
Just wanted to ask you guys what you think... What if Edelman?
Tom.
See, that was one I probably could have read a little bit better than that.
Edelman remains healthy and finishes the season in the form that he's showing now. Do you think he is a lock to get re-signed, or do the Patriots allow him to test the market?
I think he's less of a lock to get re-signed because I think he could be an option for somebody.
Yeah,
I agree with Andy. I think he may have made himself some money this offseason.
His value on the open market is going up.
He got no sniffs at all last year. Because he can't stay healthy.
Right.
This year he's showing that I can be productive and stay healthy.
And I'm rooting for him. I hope he doesn't get hurt in the next. Give himself a chance to go in free agency.
I certainly am hoping that he doesn't get hurt because I do think that's been a big part of his career. And
Minitron.
You know, to get a guy, to get this far into the season, 70 catches, I hope he can stay healthy the last month here.
Given all the issues the offense has had this year, I think Edelman has proven his value and will always be a reliable security blanket if he's healthy. As always, love what you do. I listen religiously, and I'm looking forward to hearing what you think. Well, you just heard it.
Well, I don't. The Patriots can't pay him. They can't match or even, I mean.
How much money are you going to tie up at that spot?
Right.
Now, if he wants to just come back, you might benefit from that. He might just say, listen, I know what I am, and I need Brady and all that stuff and
well,
all that.
Can you sell yourself on he sort of slides into Hernandez's slot that you were going to have, even though you're still kind of paying Hernandez?
And I know that they're using those two out there a lot. They're using Edelman and Amendola together a lot, you know, with Edelman on the outside. I'm not sure that's ideal. I'm not sure that's what they
maybe
ideally
next
want to do.
Yeah, I don't know. I think my
I don't think he's gone, but I think the chances are that he's going to get an offer. If he explores free agency, I think he'll get an offer that's more than the Patriots are willing.
I think he'll be back. I think he's Tom's little boy. He's JE11, same logo, same everything.
I think
this
he might sign before
be.
He gets to that
yep.
point.
He wants to be back. I'm saying he's back.
Yeah, if he gets to the point of free agency where he can go out there and, you know, explore options, I think he's going to get an offer more than what the Patriots want to give him. But I think he might get locked up, say, between the end of the regular season
and free agency, one of those deals.
How do you
or
value
even
him,
even
Paul?
Between now? If you know what I think of Welker.
Right.
Do you think he's better than Welker?
Well, I mean, no, I don't.
Okay.
So if Welker is a penny, is he a hay penny?
I think it's the perfect illustration.
He might
of
be a better punt returner.
Oh, he's a much better punt returner. Yeah. I'm talking about just strictly as a wide receiver. Yeah. He's a terrific punt returner. I've said that right from
well,
the first
time. Well,
you
factor that into that signing he punted him, don't one. You?
Sure, if you want.
if you want. If you want.
I think he's a great – I think
you
he's
can
a,
always get a punt returner.
Well, I don't, punt returners don't generally win you championships. But I think that
Troy Brown.
Edelman is – yeah, name me the championship that he won as a punt returner.
AFC championship in Pittsburgh.
Because he returned a punt. That's the only reason why you won that game?
Special teams. Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing to do with Drew Bledsoe pass.
I think Edelman is the perfect illustration of my whole point. Someone's got to catch the passes.
Yeah, but it's not as good.
And it's easy to do.
It's not as good.
It's not easy to do.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, jeez, he's not fully really. He will just not let that one go.
Nope, he's going to go to his grave.
I think the catches that those guys make are catches that, if as long as you're healthy, you're going to rack them up. And he stayed healthy this year.
Yeah.
You guys asked me a question. I'm giving you my honest opinion.
I know. I'm just laughing. All right. That's it for this edition of PFW in Progress. John Rookin, the playbook's up next.
And he was here.
He's back in town. I don't know where he is right now. Where'd he go, Kevin?
Poopy.
They're here, I think, in the bathroom.
Look out.
Rick doing work out there.
Who's they in the bathroom?
No, John's in the
bathroom. Oh, John's in the bathroom.
You know those cranberries go right through you.
Yeah.
And he eats a lot of that cranberry bread.
So he's up next. Now. Nitpick Tuesday and then Fantasy Football Champ.
Replay of Pat's Texans starting right now on NFL Network.
Okay. Good plug, Paul. See you tomorrow.
There's no room. No space to rent in this town. You're out of luck. Reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you'd found a friend to take you out of this place, someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.